Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
Hi, Jody!
Hi!
Yay, Jody's here!
Yay!
Well, Jody, I want you to know something.
Number two is here.
Okay.
I want you to know something.
Okay.
You have busted Aaron's balls about mugs forever.
That's
right?
Actually right.
Oh, my God.
So, I have never known when quite to bring this one, because it doesn't really apply to anything we ever talk about, but then I realized, oh, my God, it does apply to, because Jody's going to be here. So, what I did is I saved my biggest, my fattest, my girthiest, my tallest mug. And that's supposed to be dirty, just for Jody.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
How did you sneak that one in?
That's what she said.
Prison wallet.
Aslan right on top of it.
She's got fucking Forest and Aslan and Narnia.
Well, that's perfectly timed because we're recording this right in the dead center of Oktoberfest.
Oh, damn.
And that appears.
Dude.
Or shit.
Are you going to fill that with hazy goodness?
Oktoberfest.
Yeah, Africa over.
Wait.
That's like a vase.
What is? Yeah.
It is, right?
Or a vase.
A vase is a vase.
You could put like an entire family worth of ashes in that urn.
Oh, my God. It is the most monster-based receptacle.
May I see the other side?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, just let him flip it over for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Look at that. We got a panther on the handle a jaguar or something.
Probably a cheetah.
Black panther, maybe. I don't know. Cheetah.
I don't know. I just want a different cat name.
That oh my God. Is impressive.
So
that
yeah.
somebody would ever buy that.
Did you buy that, or did somebody gift that?
This
to
was
you?
This was gifted.
The fact that it has a
does
lid.
It have to involve Eric?
Not no. Not only was it gifted, but it was also handmade for me.
Oh
no!
Yep.
It no
was, it
way.
Was. It was picked. It was hand cast, and then fired.
That's so. What?
That's pretty impressive. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay, that makes it a little better.
Wow.
This is like the world's meanest cookie jar.
Oh, yeah.
But your hand would get stuck in it.
Your hand's stuck in the.
But with this lid, it seems like a cookie jar practical joke.
So
wow.
Just for
it's
you.
It's got an elephant.
Thank you. I love it.
Wow.
It's like a goddamn lighthouse.
By the time the liquid reaches his face, it's going to go.
Yeah,
that's right. Poor right.
Oh, my God.
That's powerful.
Speaking of which,
that's powerful. We should have brought more cans, though.
Oh, yeah. I decided, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll fill the sucker up. I could have done that, but I'm
that
not going to.
That would have been pretty impressive.
Are you compensating for something?
Yeah,
just wondering.
That's why,
you know what they say.
That's what I say.
Big mug. That's right. I don't know that one.
Falls in toilet.
Wow. That is fairly impressive. I'm just going to stare at that now the whole time, trying to find new animals. It's got zebras in there.
Such is my life, man.
Horses.
Your life is full of zebras. And...
No, so people going, wow, I'm just going to stare at it.
Giraffes and yaks.
And look at the...
yeah.
It's got white zebras with black stripes and black zebras with white stripes on there. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
It's
very all zebras matter.
That's true.
It's got some Bob Ross influence in these back happy trees here.
Those don't look too happy.
I've never seen like such a German style Stein painted with an African safari scene.
I like Simba.
Till now.
Or Mufasa up on top.
There it is.
It is.
That's right. One day all this you see will be yours. Probably like real soon.
You missed his R2-D2 mug last time.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she.
No, I'm okay missing that one.
Yeah.
You know who R2-D2 is, right?
I do.
Okay.
I think
Warren Beatty in the...
He's the trash can.
I was going to say, is he the trash can or the gold guy?
He's not the bowling ball, he's the trash can.
He's the trash can played by Warwick Davis. She's going to go tell somebody that now.
I know.
Did you know that Warwick Davis played R2-D2?
Oh, I listened to that one.
He was probably like three.
Friggin' nerd.
All right, well, I derailed the fucking podcast again.
No, it's perfect, because now that's not even going to fit on our little backdrop that I normally take the photos on, so this is going to get its own...
You're just going to leave half of it off and let the rest to imagination.
Dude.
Oh my god. You're gonna have to take like multiple pictures, different views.
That's why you turn the lights off, right?
Chief, dude, I'll just take a photo of the bottom half, and then if you subscribe to our Patreon, which we don't have, then you can get the top half as well.
I was gonna say, that you mean that Facebook page that I was supposed to find that never got put up?
We're having issues with that, but yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is it because Lee can't log into it on his cell phone?
No, the main thing is that we've got our page that we do, but
Abby.
So in order to get that as like a new like group page, I either have to shut that page entirely down and then refire up a new one, or just use that page to advertise the other one. All of which just seems like it's like work for people to do, and I don't want to give people work.
Which I totally would
like
do.
Follow the.
But
the podcast,
I have to be able to log in and shit, and it's like attached to his personal Facebook page.
Yeah,
which then would would be glorious.
Oh my god, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah,
would he get a Netscape every 5 minutes?
I think I can. I'm sure you can do admins and stuff, but I
Netscape in Africa.
I don't delve into Facebook.
Oh, we would do it too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway,
you have to work on that.
Yeah, when you hear something is coming soon from us, you got to take that loosely.
Very much so.
It means we probably will think about it for a nice long time, decide not to do it, and then actually do it sometime after that.
Although this event with Jody?
Yes.
This shit happened fast.
That was cool.
This was quick.
I get shit done.
Yeah,
that was
you do.
Super cool.
It was nothing to do with me.
Yeah. What we're speaking of course, is the release of the new Oakshire Hazy beer, which we were lucky enough to be involved in with Oakshire, which Jody's the Portland rep for, Oakshire Brewing, and Mitch and the Nerd Out crew. Shining theme on the can of this beer, and so we got to show the shining. And
yeah, so how'd that happen, by the way? How did you get that? How did you personally? I know you're the one that like did all of this by hand, right? How did you get that image there from the pattern of the carpet, from the shining, from the hotel? And, I mean, how'd that all come about?
I really wish I had a good story.
God damn it.
I
Make
know.
Something up.
We have really cool graphic people that are nerds and put it together. And
wow.
Yeah.
Because that's cool.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But, I mean, there is a Shining Oregon kind of connection.
Absolutely. Oh,
so.
For sure.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Right, sure.
It's cool because it's a classy looking can. Like if you had no idea what The Shining was and weren't a horror movie fan or whatever, it's a cool looking can. Like people will see it on the shelf and go, oh, that's neat. Because the whole motif like this is very modern times, kind of what they're doing right now. And a lot of the East Coast breweries are doing fun stuff like this. But
now, was this carpet pattern, the connection is, of course, was it Mount? Timberline Lodge.
Yeah, which was
some of it was filmed.
All
in.
The external shots
right.
of the Overlook Hotel from The Shining were Timberline Lodge.
And the interior where the carpet was someplace else.
It's soundstage they built.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was based on
a hotel in Denver, which I believe Stephen King had stayed at and actually kind of inspired him to write the book.
I think it was Estes Park.
Is that what it
is? Oh, yeah. In Colorado or something like that?
Yeah, it's in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's outside of Denver.
My mom,
hour and a half.
Okay.
My mom went there. They had it there for a family reunion, and she wanted to go stay in whatever that fucking haunted room was.
Yeah, 217 time, yeah.
I said, no, you are not. You're going to bring back some spirits and some ghosts and shit, and you're already a handful, and I don't need your fucking baggage.
I've looked into it.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, but they have a channel 24/7 that plays The Shining.
Yeah,
really?
Isn't that rad?
That's really cool.
I think that's worth it right there.
Totally is.
That would be.
Well, and there's now an Overlook Film Festival that happens yearly at Timberline Lodge. Last year was the first one, and they show horror shorts and independent horror films and things. So that's really cool.
But isn't that also where you can get like altitude sickness?
Not
because
is
it up in that?
No,
not at Timberline, no, but in Colorado.
Oh, probably.
Where Estes Park is.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know Denver's only about a mile high, so it's actually not even as high up as Timberline Lodge is, but depending on how far out it is up in the hills, yeah.
Because
that would be crazy going there not knowing about altitude sickness, because I have an aunt that lives there, and she talks about that. My mom had altitude sickness somewhere over there. And you're like, oh my god, the spirits have got me. I'm feeling nauseous.
Boy, would it be fun to drink in that altitude.
Well, yeah, in Colorado, I know they have roads that go all the way up to like 14,000-15,000 feet, which is fairly uncommon. I mean, 14,000 foot peaks are like some of the highest peaks in
the
states.
Might be able to get to the top of my mug.
Yeah. So the fact that you can even just drive up that high, for a flatlander to go up there, you're probably paying for it.
Yeah. So See, Jody, you thought when you were listening to these podcasts and all this funny magic that you heard actually was like something special.
She's like, no, I didn't. She's like, I haven't heard that yet.
Now you've seen it. She
was
like,
which episode was the funny one with magic?
She's gone today.
That's right. Yes, actually, we should mention that. Unfortunately, we are at the table today without Grace, the beer gremlin. Is not here tonight. She had to work, but we wanted to make sure we could
love this you, Grace.
Episode out. And you guys are all heading off to GABF
mm-hmm.
next week. And then the rest of this week, I think you have some Oakshire events and such, some of which Grace is doing with you. So it was either like now or we were going to have to push even the recording into October sometime. So
GABF, Junior Brewfest? What is that?
Great American Beer
Really?
Fest?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
G-A,
oh,
not
G.
J.
G, yeah.
Yeah, G-A.
Are you going one?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, there's only like 8,000 breweries or something, so don't worry about it.
Well, Grace usually rolls her eyes a lot at me and usually like tells Juan to shut up, so
you okay, know, I will do my best. Absolutely. I will do my best. I've already slapped a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm keeping tallies, so when he sees Grace later on tonight, she'll catch up on the slapping.
Yes.
I'm sitting in my car, first of all.
In your recliner.
Yeah. I mean, that might happen anyway, but...
No slap a hoe.
Well, we already talked a little bit about this beer when we sat down with Jody at the event at the Nerd Out. So I'm going to cut over to that real quick, let you guys hear how some of that went down, and then we'll bring you right back here for the rest of our podcast. Yeah, what are we doing here? Here we are.
It
at
is
the Oakshire.
Oakshire. Okay. Like, shit, what? Why are we here?
We're going to start
so
all
we're
over.
At the Nerd Out. We are doing a beer release for Oakshire for their new hazy IPA in cans.
The hazy IPA. Not to be confused with any of those other imitators.
Right? Screw them. happens to have a super sweet label inspired by The Shining. So.
Yeah, it's the carpet pattern.
The carpet!
Very famous hexagonal kind of shape. Everybody knows it. And they put that on the can. So that inspired us to get involved. And luckily, Jody reached out to us. And thought we might like to be a part of this whole thing, which is very, very cool. And we are releasing that new hazy beer tonight with the Shining carpet pattern at a Shining movie screening at the Nerd Out.
Because why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? So we are here. We're going to be releasing the cans. We're the only place in Portland right now that has the cans tonight, which is
so super
cool.
Sneak peek.
Absolutely. Already had the beer. Beer is fantastic. Super, super good hazy.
I haven't got that far, but I'll get there.
Oh, we'll get there.
When I'm done drinking whiskey. But I'll get there.
That's right. Yeah, I am having one of Joshua, the bartender here. He has come up with a concoction for tonight's event called the Red Rum, and I'm having that, and it's super good, as are all of his cocktail concoctions.
It's pretty tasty.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do some trivia. We're going to have Jody, who is the Portland area rep for Oakshire Brewing and a good friend of ours from our homebrew club and our local watering hole, coming down and joining us. Actually, one of our friends just walked in. Hey, Casey.
Definitely.
And we're going to do some trivia. We're going to give away a bunch of swag. This is going to be a pretty cool night, along with an episode that we're going to record on The Shining, pairing with it this beer, the Hazy IPA.
Yeah, we'll see if we can shed some new light on a classic.
All right, guys, we're going to get to this and start drinking some of this here beer.
Yeah,
we'll
I
get
need
back
more
to
beer.
You.
Holy fuck, you just did some Hollywood magic right there.
I was going to start singing, but.
See, this is why he's brilliant, because I don't think of that kind of shit, you know. And he's like, nope, we've got to have structure. We've got to have, you know, fun.
Oh, yeah,
and we're
going
to have a routine.
You're not here for that.
Which we usually don't.
You're here for your mug.
I'm always talking about it.
This mug.
But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And we're going to go back also
to
Grace and I just kind of sitting down and talking a little bit about that event later on. I'll find a way to cut that into the episode. But hey, so we're here with Jody.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, Portland beer rep for Oakshire Brewing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Awesome.
It's pronounced Oakshire.
Oakshire. Thank you, seriously, though, for thinking about us and making us part of this. This is
Thank
super
you
awesome.
Thank you for being here. This is super awesome.
So
I love
excited.
It.
So we're celebrating the release of Oakshire's new hazy IPA.
I like how you keep calling it the hazy IPA, but actually the can just says hazy IPA.
Except
for
the poster says
the hazy. Hazy. Like the
it
Shining.
Is the Shining. You can't just call it Shining.
Do you have any idea what made them decide on the shining carpet pattern for the can? Because it's genius.
You know, I was going to come up with a really good story because I knew that was going to be a question, and I just didn't come up with anything.
We're just going to have to drive down there and ask the source.
I know. Actually, you do. Yeah. And, I mean, The Shining does have an Oregon connection.
Totally.
So I'm wondering if maybe that has something to do with it. But it's all awesome. The graphics team that came up with it.
Somebody's a dork on the graphics team.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
It's a graphics team. They're always
valid point. They're probably all dorks.
You
but
can
one
see
of them's a
pictures
horror
of the can on our Facebook, on Instagram, on Oakshire's site. You can
it's
see the can.
Instatwater.
Instatwater, that's right. It's very cool. Awesome. Well,
that's
I'm
super tasty.
Yeah, I couldn't be more happy with it. It's So Oakshire seems like they're getting on the hazy game, like after everyone else has pushed like 100,000 things. Was that just to get it A1 right?
Well, we've been on the hazy game for a while. As far as Eugene goes, Eugene at Oakshire at our public house, we get quite a few beers down there that aren't readily available anywhere else. So Dan Russo is freaking amazing.
He's awesome. We love him.
When it comes down to he can make any style of beer, I'll tell you that, and it will turn out awesome. But he's been making hazy IPAs for a long time, but he's got it down.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're late to the game as far as the packaging goes, I have to say, is TTB regulations and getting can approval.
Okay.
So that's why it was kind of planned for fall. Also, awesome. You know, getting all the legal stuff.
Totally. Well, it's worth the wait. It's so good.
Yeah, and I think now's the perfect time for a hazy, honestly. Like, this summer, it's like drinking an orange juice versus a water.
Yeah.
So, the fall, the winter, those are the times that I really like the hazy IPAs, because they're not as thirst-quenching, but they're very enjoyable and refreshing in a different way.
And if you're one of our listeners who's into the horror and all that, then it is the perfect time, because you can have this at your Halloween party, showing The Shining, whatever. I mean, it's just such a great tie-in. You know, we normally kind of are hunting the shelves to find beers to tie in with our film, so this one just handed itself to us, which is super, super
screams.
Cool.
It's hard to find a horror-themed beer that's not a dark beer.
Absolutely. And we love Oakshire anyways, and so, I mean, it was just, it was a perfect gift wrap experience. Yeah,
it's
totally
perfect.
So. Hunt this one down for your Halloween parties. Great to hear that it's going to be all the time. I do like that. And I also like that there will be a little bit of a hunt for it, because I think beer nerds enjoy that.
It's not going to be necessarily easy to find, but if you go to, you know, a place like Market of Choice on Belmont, you can pretty much find it.
Shameless plug.
And we'll always post on social media when a new batch is coming out and going to be released. So people can follow at Oak Brew.
Cool. Where else does Oakshire distribute to as far as, like, other states? Maybe not this beer, but just in general.
Oh, by the way, this is Oregon only. It is not hitting any other markets whatsoever. Oregon only on this one.
That's awesome.
So we are, I'm going to probably get this wrong, but we're in Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Idaho, Alaska.
You're in Alaska?
Wow. Yeah, like very, very, very small amount.
Yeah.
And probably somewhere else, but such a minute.
Okay.
I would say Oregon, Washington, Colorado are our main ones.
Nice. Awesome. Well, seek it out. So many good beers from Oakshire. I mean, I could go down the list, but just so many. Watershed
also,
IPAs.
Obviously, the Nerd Out has it, so we should probably give them a little plug.
I don't know how much longer they're going to have it. We've already gone through a case.
I know, and we've only been here for like 45 minutes.
Well, maybe the Nerd Out will have more.
Yeah, that's true. This is a great event. We're going to watch The Shining tonight. We'll cut in and out of some review for that. I think we're going to do a podcast featuring this beer again and a full review of The Shining and our thoughts
on it. I know a person,
it.
So we might be able to get some podcast.
Yeah. Jody, if you know anybody, hook us up.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can rob somebody on the street for some.
Well, I'm super stoked to have you on the show finally, because, I mean, it's been needing to happen for a long time. So
thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And
I'm the number two listener, apparently.
Well, she's,
I feel like
she's
we
not
can
here.
Upgrade you to
so
number
yeah,
one now.
I think you're going to take that spot.
Casey's laughing at you.
Casey's like, Casey, do you listen?
Morgan. Oh, shots fired.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get back to drinking.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So she is here.
It was a rad. Yeah, she'll be.
She's here in spirit.
She's
she'll
here in spirit.
Absolutely. Ooh. Oh, there's those ghosts. You didn't want to ring back.
Did you sense the eye rolling at me, Lee?
Yeah, there was. She's eye rolling the fuck out of me right now.
But that was a pretty cool event. I mean, we got to watch The Shining. We did some giveaways, some trivia, some fun stuff like that. We released the beer, and in a in a lucky turn of circumstances, the beer almost didn't make it at all, and didn't make it to anywhere else in town. So we really were
until tomorrow
the only spot. Yeah, and this was a week ago. So
yeah,
yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. It was really cool to be.
I heard it was a hoot. I couldn't make it to that one until it was well over, but
the food was fantastic.
He puts together a good plate.
Oh my gosh, that food is so good.
Yeah, I had no idea. Than you would think at a. You know, a nerd bar.
Mm-hmm.
You think nerd bar, and you're just going to get.
Oh yeah, no chicken strips. Yeah, he does. He could probably, you know, he might benefit from like throwing together some chicken strips and some fries, you know. But then that would be, you know, I'd eat it too. But
they'd probably be the tastiest ones I ever had.
Yeah, true, true. But he wouldn't have all the other, you know, excellent things that make it worth going to.
Totally.
So
I did have some deep fried chicken skins for the first time ever.
Oh, that night, just sounds so gross.
I thought maybe it would be, but I couldn't. Keep myself from ordering something that unhealthy. I was like, I have to. So I did. And it was so good.
Don't you ever take like the skin off of fried chicken?
Yeah. And it's always the best part.
Yeah,
or and throw it away.
Turkey? Oh.
Well, in this case, we took the skin off, deep fried it, and threw the chicken away. Wow. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. You're going to pay for the whole chicken, but you're going to get the skin. So there you go.
That's upper echelon right there, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was really, really good. Spiced super well.
Look, I've had a day.
Yeah, let's have some beer.
Let's have some fucking beer.
Let's do it.
Well, we've got let's have hands, some so let's of this amazing motherfucking beer.
Here ya is.
Here ya is. So yeah. For the
we're
last...
getting our own?
Yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's why I'm so late, because, man, I had to traverse the forest, the African jungle, and to go pick up some.
You are a saint.
He went on a safari.
He did. Wait, got himself a neat mug handmade while he was there.
Yeah. Concocted a story about how I got it while I was driving up here.
It was perfect. Shit.
Did
seriously, you probably got that at Goodwill like yesterday.
Yep.
Oh, what can I say about it? It was the green tag, which was 50% off.
So did we emphasize enough how awesome Jody is and how she drove
to get the beer? Ego
no, we didn't talk about
we kind
that.
Of you started heading that way.
I did.
And then we got derailed. Like, okay, I mean, probably by me.
Yeah. I did get paid for it. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I mean, I was on the clock. But still.
The day of the event, you, drove all the way to Salem, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice they met you halfway.
Yeah. George, my boss.
Yeah.
I mean, he saved the other half. He's the one that met
you. Got to have a reason to go to
George.
Salem.
Yeah. Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
George, thank you.
So, yeah, that was pretty awesome. I heard that was happening, like, last minute. And I was
well, and then
like,
you
oh,
can't
shit.
Just grab a beer and drive it to a place and hand it to them, because there's laws for such things. So she had to go and get a hold of the distributor so that the distributor could show up and actually, you know, quote, distribute the beer the legal and correct way. So all the day of the event, heck of a lot of stuff to put that beer on the table. But it was so worth it.
And it turned out a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
This beer... I think we should just start showing up there and having little get-togethers anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else, you know, we hammed it up quite a bit.
Very true.
That was a blast.
Well, and I noticed this on Mitch's birthday party. We went to his birthday, which he had at his establishment there, and we watched Empire Strikes Back because that's his favorite movie of all time.
Sounds fun.
And it was
That's the best Star Wars movie, actually.
But what was so cool about it, and even he made mention of this, wasn't the fact that, you know, he was in his place watching the movie. It's the fact that with all your friends and everybody hanging out in a bar with a movie that you're all there to see on and everything, you get all that banter and the talk and the Mystery Science Theater comments being thrown at everything.
I thought that was the fun part of The Shining. Because we all just watched it, you know, obviously for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But then sitting there and watching it with everybody else, that was even better.
Yeah, that was really
kind of makes you realize how cheesy it is.
A little kid with the finger.
I did notice some.
Dude, there's nothing cheesy about that.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Jerk. That's Tony.
Yeah.
Don't fucking make fun of Tony, dude.
Oh, Tony.
Genius.
That's right, man. There's two untouchables, Tony and Scatman.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, Scatman is so
Scatman
cool.
was touched with an axe, so that's fine.
Yeah. Boy, that was actually one of the funniest parts was, you know, he, of course, gets the call from Danny, you know, whatever it is, through The Shining, through this ESP or telepathy or whatever they have together. And so he leaves wherever he lives flies on a flight, waits in the airport, I think, while like his flight is delayed, tries to rent a car, finally has to rent a snow cat to get up to the... I mean, this guy goes on this huge, epic adventure to come and save the day when Danny is letting him know that there's trouble occurring. And it's like 15, 20 minutes of the film. And he gets there, walks in the front door, and gets an axe in the chest. So funny. Like, for the first time ever, I realized how funny that was. I could not stop laughing about it.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, the greatest adventure.
It's like, I'm here to save the day.
No payoff. I don't think in the novel, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think his character bites it. I think he survives.
No, because Kubrick hated Scat Man. I need to be careful from all the things that I actually call them outside of something. I can't use all my nicknames.
Yes, you can. We like putting Aaron through
the magic of editing.
The magic of editing. Yeah. The grind.
He doesn't do it enough with you, Lee.
This is true.
Oh, geez.
It'd be all day job.
Scatman do. I love it. That's what that'll be forever now. That's so funny.
Let's talk about this beer.
Yeah, let's do that first.
Because I want to say, look.
Damn, Lee.
For the last, I know. I wish Jody was personally responsible for making this beer. Because I would like to directly tell you how absolutely erect I am over this beer.
Now that we're all uncomfortable.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta go.
They did dissolve a blood pill in your beer before
you
drank it.
Well, you really know how to make a moment. Yeah,
that's right.
But I can't because you didn't, and that would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
So I won't.
So Jody, why don't you describe to him the actual guy that did put this brew together that caused his erection?
Yeah.
Let me point the flagpole in the proper direction.
You know, he's wearing some big rubber boots, probably.
Dan motherfucking Russo is a pretty badass. Him and along with the rest of our brew team are absolutely amazing. But I'll tell you, he put this recipe together. I believe he's solely responsible for the recipe. I can't say that 100%, but... He's won awards with it. He won silver at the Oregon Beer Awards with a very similar recipe this last year, It was this year.
It was this year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I only know because I was watching at work when I was supposed to be working.
No, they're amazing. Our guys are very inventive. Any style of beer, honestly. Mm-hmm. They do a really, really good job.
Yeah, no, let me tell you. This is absolutely incredible. I've been on a hazy... kick lately. I can't stand IPAs. Anybody listens, you know.
Yeah.
For the last 20 episodes, Juan and I have gone back and forth about, you know, my IPA hate and Old Tingston's and all that stuff, right?
We just prefer to think of it as that you're intolerant.
Yes.
It's possible.
In your old age.
It's possible.
Intolerance.
So, but now you get to listen to another 20 episodes of me talking about how fucking amazing not only hazies are, but how this... in my humble opinion, is top of the line.
I think this beer is fantastic.
Incredible.
The day after the event, I'm looking at his check-ins, and it's pictures of him sitting back at the Nerdow, because they were the only place that had it, with one of these on the table. And I do believe it was the day after that as well.
Oh, yeah.
He was back again posting pictures of himself at the Nerdow drinking it. I was like, oh, my God, he really wants that beer.
Yeah. I almost put this this six-pack on my dashboard as I was driving up here.
Yeah.
And posted it too.
Thanks for not doing that.
But yeah.
As he's driving.
Because jail.
At least he wasn't on his phone because he doesn't have one.
Driving down the road holding a granny tab with a six pack.
His tablet does have a camera though. So
yeah. But what stopped me is I don't know if Oakshire would like that advertisement. Like,
yes. Or going to jail.
Car, you know. Well, that's fine. Whatever.
I could think of a lot worse.
That's very
not
true.
Open.
That's very true.
It might have been.
And it's a still shot. They don't know if you're actually driving or not.
Well, yeah. See?
Think what's outside the box, lady.
I know. But yeah, wow. I hope that this is a long run.
It's all year round, all the time, but very limited. So we will be making 200 cases a month, and that is only for Oregon.
Ah.
So... Mm-hmm. Portland metro area will get 50 to 60 cases. And when it's gone, it's gone. But every month you'll get some. Very limited draft as well, but mainly in package.
Ooh.
You'll find it at your market of choice on Belmont?
Yep.
Market of choice. That's absolutely true.
But you will never find it in a chain. Well, I shouldn't say never. As of this point, it will not be any chain stores. It will all be specialty. Right, okay. No Safeway.
Cool. I do really love, though, that you guys are at Safeway and, like, all those places.
Oh, I do, too.
So I can just swing in and grab a, you know, Watershed mm-hmm. or an Overcast. Because, I don't know, there's a couple breweries in Oregon that are that way, like a Fort George or an Ecliptic or you guys, where, like, I love their beer selection so much and I don't have to hunt for it. So it's, like, the perfect fridge beer. You can always have it.
Lager beer will be in Safeways now. And oh, wow. That's cool. Beer is my go-to.
Yeah.
I love that beer.
Yeah. And then coming soon, 12-pack boxes of Heart-Shaped Box, probably?
We do have our variety pack coming out where it will be...
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it will be Citrophonics, Overcast, Lager Beer, and Amber. Nice. And so 12-pack cases. And it's like your own little lunchbox with your four basic food groups.
So how That's much influence cool. do you have? Because little known fact, I heard you like unicorns. So are you ever going to be able to like influence can art or bottle art and put a unicorn on it?
Doubtful, but we'll see.
What the hell?
We'll see. I have more of a chance of influencing recipes.
I was going to say, when's your brew day?
Brew day. We've talked about it so many times. We were supposed to do it for the Home Brewer Festival.
Winning. Brewer.
I haven't won in a while.
Ooh, hey.
Well, you've just been saving up.
Good point. We should probably brag a little bit about her, right?
Well, I really don't want her getting like a... You know.
Well, I mean...
Shit.
But a very accomplished home brewer and... one collaborator with Widmer, which is pretty phenomenal.
Which we got to try at the festival...
Oregon Brewers
Festival. Yep, Oregon Brewers Festival, and it was the first one to blow, actually.
It was.
That day we were there.
First beer to disappear.
Gone.
So good job.
Hey, thanks. All around. Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks. Yeah.
Not to mention her like dedication to listening to our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's
a top notch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've already had the smackdown with Morgan.
Yeah, there's been a little rivalry that's developed here.
That's right. You don't see Morgan here, do you?
Although technically she was here first. I mean, I'm just saying.
Did she bring you good beer?
She did bring some good beer.
As good as this?
Okay, no. All right. Well, you can't say no.
Yeah, they were great.
Well, I know,
beers.
But I'm here now, so you actually have to talk this beer up.
Well, you're going to ask Lee, did you get an erection with the other beer? Just saying. Were you at full mast or half
That's
mast?
A good gauge.
Okay. No wonder Grace has to be here. This is totally inappropriate.
Right?
Yeah. And this is just what we didn't already edit out. I mean, they didn't hear about or that one time that you said. Yeah.
There was a time, actually, with Morgan here that. Because most of the shit that comes out of my mouth, I don't plan. It just like, huh, this.
You don't say.
True. So
Tell us more about those gems.
I popped something out that was very like, Kappa Beta, you know, college, like just completely inappropriate. Completely.
Lambda, lambda. A sorority?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to like.
Yeah.
Lamba Lamba.
Just frat boy crap.
Frat boy crap. Just total frat boy crap.
Yeah. Is that from Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And as soon as it came out of my mouth, because it was derogatory. It was like targeting it just popped out, you know. I instantly knew, oh, no, that didn't work at all, guys. And it was the first time I've ever met Morgan, too. And I was like, that's not me. That's not me. It doesn't work.
She laughs uncomfortably for a little bit. And then we want
to. Then I should probably apologize to all of you for what I'm going to say tonight, because I'm usually the one that offends everybody.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's about time.
Yes.
Yeah. I acknowledge in advance.
I think it's okay if your guest comes in and just lets loose.
Yes.
Right? That's right. Good. So, yeah. Give us all you got.
Yeah, you have a safe space here. It's a safe space.
For Lee will do it sober. He doesn't even need any alcohol in him. No, but when he gets a few in him,
it's
oh my
better
God.
With so, alcohol.
Speaking of homebrewing while I'm having another drink of this, have you made a hazy?
I have not. Okay. I have attempted IPAs in the past, and I'll tell you, it is not my strongest style.
Nothing wrong with that.
Really? We have recently made some changes to our brew setup to where I believe now is the time to start brewing IPAs so that I can be a little bit more successful. But right now I'm on a lager kick. So cool. I just brewed my first lager and I want to stick with the lager thing for a while until I can get that down, which I hear.
I endorse that.
Never.
Yeah. That's what I heard also. Yeah.
But I'm That's about cool, ready to do it.
Nice. I tried a lager about 2 years ago. It's still in the refrigerator that we put down in the basement.
Well, the good thing is.
So it's a basement aged lager now. Yeah. Yeah.
And when summer comes around next year and you can brew that lager, so refreshing.
Yeah, the only thing is they take forever.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
You made a cider? Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Well,
make
last time
cider.
I was home, really, I was still
Oh, you made a mead. Oh. So
forever
Come
was everywhere.
Juan.
That's true. Yeah.
I thought you made a cider.
I've never made a cider. Not yet.
No, that was us. We
tried a sizer.
Yes.
But yeah, that was still back, like Aaron said, when we were still bottle conditioning things.
Yeah, in which case every beer
takes
forever.
That takes a long time, yeah.
And I was brewing only to enter in contests anyway, so I never even drank any of it.
And that's what I do, unfortunately. And then John brews his own, so we end up with 20 gallons of beer that are just sitting. We just poured out probably 15 gallons the other day.
Oh, my goodness.
You did. That's wow. Right.
Man, you should just run a straw from your place to here.
I know.
When the wee heavy got poured out, that's when you got the whiff of that. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's the wee heavy.
I mean, that's the thing. We're brewing styles that aren't necessarily everyday drinkers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on over. Have some wee heavy, which it's a fantastic beer, and you could probably drink a lot of, but...
Every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and out of the beers that I have brewed or worked on and the sizer and all that, there was really only one that I was like, I drink this all the time. You know, usually I'm like, I missed the mark on this, or, oh my, I'm not happy with that. And it's funny because you drink that exact same beer out of a tap somewhere, and you're probably like, hey, it's pretty good.
Exactly.
But you're such a self-critic that having all that beer around that I made, I'm like, I don't even want it. It's not good.
I'm the same way with cooking. And I'm hoping, because a lager or a pilsner, that's something that I will drink all the time, all year round. So if I can get the styles down and get that figured out, then that is something I will drink.
Cool.
But who knows? I might not drink it because I want to enter it in competitions and it takes so long. Right. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, it's funny when you're bottling, and as you're bottling, you're like setting aside certain bottles to go to certain places, and you're not even thinking about drinking the beer you just spent all this time on. I was like, I don't know if that's the right mindset to be brewing. But
did you say that this is going to be on draft in places also?
Yeah, so... Yeah. Like, for example, we're going to get 4 half barrels this week. And so, like, once a month, maybe 4 half barrels.
Hmm.
So it's not a lot, but you will find it around at your favorite watering holes.
Okay. Do you know? Because
I do.
And you have to wait to release that information?
I don't. I'm sure Valley Growlers will grab it.
Is my lady getting one or no?
She cannot carry anything that's in a package,
so she will not be getting it.
I'm not sure. It's kind of like whoever wants to pick it up first kind of thing. So when it comes in, if they order it, they get it. I mean, later on, we'll see how much kind of pressure is put on us, and it may be allocations only, but I have a feeling that we're going to be a little bit more free with the draft.
We need to pressure Mitch into getting that on draft.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you need to get Dan to make some more green noise, too.
Yeah, that's a good
thing. So if you're from Oregon, find it. And knowing it'll be available periodically is awesome. You can keep looking for it until you do find it. If you're not from Oregon, get on your beer trading group and trade for some.
Or come here and get it.
Trade for some of this. Yeah, or plan a trip out here. Fly out. Go see the Goonies. Go to the filming locations for, like, Short Circuit and Teenage Mutant Turtles 3.
Kindergarten Cop.
The Shining.
The Shining.
Mm. Yeah, come on out for that.
Yes.
And that other – what's that other horror franchise? That amazing, amazing – it's like a whole group of movies. It's super great. Twilight. Yeah. Come on out and hang out at all the Twilight filming locations.
Didn't the last Star Wars wasn't part of that filmed here?
I think that they did something in the gorge, yeah.
Did really?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, son of a bitch. Yeah, well.
But anyways, make a trip out of it. Enjoy your love of horror movies.
Right.
We did. Oh, The Ring. The Ring the 2 Ring. And The Ring.
Not here, though.
Kind of Northwest.
Washington.
Well, The Ring 2 was in Astoria.
Oh,
it's some of it. So come out, check out some cool filming sites.
What
go to Oakshire, drink this beer, take home some Shining cans.
What movie did we do way back in the day when I talked about the insane asylum down in Wilsonville or
Damish?
Damish.
Yeah, I don't remember what film.
There was a film.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I think One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, that was filmed here.
That was all. So we got a lot of
weird. Look at all of these connections to the Shining all of a sudden.
And
Jack Nicholson was in both those movies.
That's the connection.
That was the connection one. Yeah. You're really on top of it.
We were just connecting the dots.
So yeah, come on down. Check out this beard, man. What about your
Tom Cruise connection to The Shining?
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I for one, did not delve deep enough that day to find out what this connection is, so I'm dying to know.
It's she has not that exciting.
A Tom Cruise Shining
connection. It's Tom Cruise. It really isn't that exciting.
And the only reason it's even a thing is that you have a certain amount of affinity for Mr. Tom Cruise. Is this correct?
Oh, to say it's not so.
It is.
Says the guy with a 18-inch tall African Serengeti Stein and a granny tab.
And
a pink
just
cover.
To clarify,
I didn't want Tom Cruise to be lonely. I wanted something his size.
No attraction. Oh my gosh, he is only like 5'6", 5'8".
Yeah, he has to look up to tie his shoelaces.
He wears lifts.
But I am not attracted to Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay.
I love his characters in his movies. His movies, I get obsessed with.
So it's different than your Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, no, Ryan Reynolds I just like to look at.
I don't like all his early stuff, which seemed to cement him as, like, so popular. Like, so, like, Cocktail? When I watch, like, Cocktail and all this, I'm like, all right, whatever.
She never seen Cocktail.
Top Gun I enjoy. Okay. But not necessarily for Tom Cruise's performance, just because I like Jets and, you know, men's volleyball.
Tom Skerritt?
Mainly. But, yeah, well, Stash.
Exactly. Come on now.
But I like Collateral. That he did. That was an amazing film.
Jimmy Fox.
What was the time?
The Firm.
The pre-crime one. What was that one?
Yes.
I just lost the name of it.
Majority Report?
Thank you.
Well, minority Report.
Minority?
Yeah. Majority.
Yeah.
Just think of it.
Way to be oppressive.
Yeah.
She's.
Tropic Thunder?
Or Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like that era, Tom Cruise, where he, I don't know, had a little
Vampire's
gray.
Kiss or no, the
Vampire's
Kiss
is
a vampire.
Vampire Lestat.
Yeah, we don't watch that one. Yeah, that's not included. We don't talk about that one.
That's kind of the male volleyball version of a horror movie. You know?
Yeah.
Or even the Mission Impossible, though, the first one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you seen the newest one? Of course
yes,
you have.
I saw it in the theaters.
It looked kind of awesome, actually.
It's really good. And there's fast cars and motorcycles. And
nice.
But Tom Cruise is batshit crazy.
Yes.
Well, there's that.
I don't like him personally. I don't want to go hang out with him.
She's not
going
to travel
church.
Back to the home planet from a volcano.
Yeah,
hang out with him in public.
If I got the opportunity to hang out with Tom Cruise, sure.
I was going to say, yeah, I have no affinity for him at all. But I'd be like, hell yeah, Tom Cruise.
He's making Top Gun 2. Come on now. Can you go wrong with
that?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
You did have a Top Gun Halloween costume one year.
I have a Top Gun thing.
You have a Top Gun countdown?
Look, it'd be cool to meet celebrities and shit, no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you just met some at Rose City Comic Con.
Oh, I got a joke for you guys before we get to that.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Oh, shit.
Not saying.
Yeah,
not saying,
baby.
It's not happening.
That was really
freaking nerd.
But he did get to meet David Tennant, who everybody out there knows from Broadchurch.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And you don't know Broadchurch?
No, I don't.
Great show. He was also in Jessica Jones the first season.
Never seen it.
I don't know. And then he did some shitty sci-fi.
He did
thing.
Some other small thing.
Michael Rooker was there.
What doctor was he? What number?
Number 10.
He was Dr. 10.
The best one.
Yep. It's Doctor Who shit. I don't know. We don't know.
Isn't Doctor Who a chick now?
He's the Whovian.
She is.
I don't even know what that's about.
She is.
I've never seen one episode of Doctor Who.
So he got
Who
to meet David Tennant, which I really do love him from Roadshire. But there they are.
Wow.
Yeah, look at us. Best
it's hard to tell you guys apart.
Lee. Right?
Yeah.
Compare your erection between the beer and meeting him.
If I was drinking an Oakshire Hazy and hugging David Tennant now.
His bodyguards would be pushing you off saying,
would be
you're
little,
inappropriate.
Like, Doctor Who babies popping up.
He would be asking him, where did he touch you on the doll?
Since you've been meeting a lot of famous folks lately, and this is a scratch to your Doctor Who itch, but you also recently met Linnea Quigley.
Yeah.
So which way does your boner point in that setup? Firing minds.
Wow.
I'm going with the guy.
Linnea probably went with the guy. Doctor Who.
Sorry, Linnea, because I really hope to have you on a podcast
someday.
See, that's
what I thought. This is why I'm not a Whovian.
Yeah.
But what about PJ Souls?
Who?
PJ Souls. You don't know
coming.
Who PJ Souls is?
Who's that?
Totally.
Totally from Halloween, the original?
1978 what? Halloween.
John knows. Trust
John
me.
Does
oh, he
know.
Knows. He's
he's a
totally
dick.
Fucking with you guys. I just can't wait till we get into The Shining and listen to.
We're supposed to be talking about it.
Jodie's take on all of her horror movies that she loves and what stood out
oh, geez.
The most about The Shining with her.
That is because you were generally really excited about The Shining.
I love The Shining.
That was cool.
And I am a horror movie nerd.
Okay. Because you're like making fun of all the Star Wars shit, and I'm like,
that's not a horror film. Not horror.
I know. So it's good to know.
I'm not into sci-fi.
It's good terrifying. To know. See, then
sci-fi scares the shit out of me. Really? Because
but
it's
horror
horrible.
Doesn't. No.
It's mainly because of the people.
I will throw you a bone on that one. I think that sci-fi, if you're not just a total diehard sci-fi fan, you're going to pick your sci-fi lane. And it's going to be Star Wars or Star Trek, or it's going to be, you know, Battlestar, or it's going to be...
ain't nobody going to fuck with Darth Vader, dude. He is the baddest man in the universe.
See, there's your lane. Seriously. But what I'm saying is, if you're just a full-on sci-fi nerd, like in the way we're horror nerds, where we like all of it, really. Yeah. I mean, even the stuff we talk mad crap about, we watch it over again in a second. Mm-hmm. Sci-fi, I don't jive with that full sci-fi nerd on the
you're
other side.
You're absolutely right.
Because I can't go down every lane of
it's
sci-fi.
It's a four-lane highway, and usually
I'm definitely not a Star Trek guy. Yeah.
When it starts getting into like the Lex and like
oh, fucking Lex was
the
amazing.
Stargate and like all those things, I'm like, I can't do it.
No. Who doesn't like flying around in outer space in the guts of a giant dragonfly?
Well, Serenity's cool.
The Serenity was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, until you've tried it, Jody, you just...
I'd rather be playing volleyball on the beach and then going in some really fast jets than on a motorcycle with this like little short guy.
That's true,
yeah. Still hate.
Gotta go get yourself
meanwhile,
some Kelly
McGillis.
Meanwhile,
he's over there with David Tennant going, take me to bed or lose me forever.
You were there?
Yeah, right. Well, and, you know, I read the police report.
Exactly. You were on the news.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry. Making some noise here.
Dude, Lee, this is literally your crack. Like, I've never seen you just
So what else is in your horror wheelhouse? Like, what are...
Ooh, you're putting me on the spot. So, of course, I love Halloween because of my wonderful husband has gotten me obsessed with it. So, I love that. Of course, you know, the Friday the 13th, all those. But I have to say, like, growing up, Exorcist was by far one of my favorites. But number one for me is Amityville Horror.
Oh, sweet.
The Ryan Reynolds version?
Well, okay, I'll take that. I'm not going to lie. I do like the Ryan Reynolds
Ryan
one.
Ryan Reynolds or Josh Brolin? Which one do you want?
Oh, and they both starred together in Deadpool.
They
How
did.
Weird that
oh,
is.
Oh, wow. 6 degrees of Deadpool, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read the book when I was younger and was obsessed with it, and I think that is one of the movies that did the book justice to a point.
Sure. There's I really enjoy the original.
I was disappointed when years later there's, oh no, it's just a fraud and it never really happened.
I know.
I was like, God damn it.
Like, just shut up and let us believe this stuff, for God's sake.
So what would be your favorite Stephen King?
Oh, that's good.
Because I know you've read a lot of the books.
So, or movie?
Yeah, totally two different things, I think.
Well, no, I mean, just overall. I would say you've read a lot of the books. So, movie. We'll go with movie.
Okay, movie. Yes. Probably Carrie.
Nice.
That's fair. Yeah.
Nice.
Or there's like the It miniseries. Or
the original, yeah.
Christine.
Tim Curry, yeah.
Tim Curry. Christine was cool because the car was pretty badass.
But I would have to probably Christine's say Carrie. Phenomenal.
Okay.
Because I always wanted to believe that I had telekinesis.
Now, have you seen the new remake one?
No.
There's been like five or seven or ten or
well, the one
some
with
like
whatever her name is, Hit Girl.
Hit Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad, but...
Moretz.
Yeah.
I always like It, for some reason, the original series. The movie's pretty cool.
Here's the thing with that It miniseries. I didn't watch it when I was young.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just...
Oh.
Clowns for me have never been scary. And more than that, I'm like, they're stupid. Like, clowns for me have always been disappointing. Like, I look at them and go, I'm really sorry your life went that way.
That is the reason I'm afraid of clowns.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh. So when I saw that, like, you know, as the 13, 14, 15-year-old kid walking through Blockbuster, because I don't remember when it aired on TV, but I would see that funny Tim Curry red nose and everything and just be like, no. So I went back and watched it as an adult just a couple years ago before the new It came out, and I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I hated it. But I don't have that frame of reference that everyone else grew up with. So
and
I,
that's
I,
important.
I can't say it's bad because you need that.
Well, you do. In yeah. the 80s, you didn't have what we had now, which we've all talked about before. You didn't have that instant gratification. You didn't have that saturation. You didn't have all of this. It was unique. It was rare. It hadn't been seen before. So you did. You had to had to experience it in the moment, too,
yeah.
to get anything of it.
I did read the book when I was 16.
Well, see, I watched the movie first when I was a kid. Fantastic. And after I watched the movie, I went and my mom or my aunt had the book, and I went and grabbed the book. Yeah. Like, I went and read it. And I don't read a lot of books, obviously, but I wanted to read the book. And that was different, obviously, because the book is just
a lot more fucked up. I wish that it held up. True. Today and it doesn't. It doesn't in all the worst ways.
Book is creepy.
True, but I'm going
in kind of a bad way. Yeah.
That's right.
Another one that does that, which was my scary, was Salem's Lot.
That was
okay. Salem's Lot to me when I watched it was terrifying, but it doesn't hold up at all. But
not
man,
today.
Yeah,
back
see,
then,
I have a hard time watching that one also. But that's the I think Salem's Lot really and too. It were my two favorite
Pet
King
Cemetery.
Books.
I have to say, Pet Cemetery. Yeah. I didn't find that as scary, but I really enjoyed it.
And it does hold up. To go back to that, you can watch Chris that today, does. And it's every bit as effective as it was.
The books, though, of course.
You got Herman Munster in it. Incredible. Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
But what about Stand By Me?
That fantastic. Is technically a...
It's not really a horror film, but that is balls. A fantastic movie.
Yeah. It is.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And well, also filmed right here in Oregon.
That's right.
Exactly. See, plan your vacation
Stephen
now.
King was movies.
Yeah, and he did a Schwarzenegger movie.
What?
The Running Man. That was based off of a short under his pseudonym, Richard
Bachman. Richard Bachman?
Oh, really? Lee, you brought something to the table today. Oh, my God.
I know, and no notes or anything.
No notes.
He did bring his tablet.
That's right, yeah.
The dragon.
There's a prompter behind me I can't see.
And I've got one of those deaf translators back there, too. And I've got the whole
You're posse. Very high tech for a guy with a granny tablet.
Thank you.
I know, right? Its name's Tabby, by the way.
Tabby.
Oh, my gosh. Get out of my house.
But. Green Dragon. I think it was called Green Dragon.
Or Green Mile.
Green Mile too, but either Dragon's Eye or Green Dragon. I can't remember now. It was a book. It was based on that Stephen King wrote. I think it's Bachman again. And it was medieval. And it was all about this prince captive in a tower. And he spent like two-thirds of the books describing how this prince escaped this tower. It was fucking amazing.
Wow, I'm not familiar with that.
Huh. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Look it up.
Hmm.
Stephen King got me through high school. Like, that's what I read. And then my tastes went fantasy, and I got into all my D&D shit.
You watch that shitty-ass movie with the fucking...
And all
that?
The romance novels.
Or Fabio.
No, that's now.
What's that movie that he had the book and they made with... called The Shit Weasel or whatever.
What?
Remember that really shitty movie?
And you say
that remember it was in the theaters and you're like, this movie's garbage. And it was based off a Stephen King book and it had like Jason Lee in it and some other things. And you're just like, dude, that movie's fucking shitty.
So any listeners, if you know the answer, please phone in.
Because we went on a rampage about it.
A shit weasel?
You called it. You're like, what's that thing that looks like a fucking shit weasel? That's what you called it. You're like, it looks like a shit weasel.
Oh, like the thing out of Star Wars.
This is fantastic.
Oh, the thing out of Star Wars.
I'm dying to know what the hell I was talking about.
So are we, most of the time.
You're like, or we could give a take it, really.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No.
Well, you got a whole lot of notes over there,
Aaron. Back to the shitty.
Well, yeah, this is actually the stuff I took to the event. So we can throw out, trivia and stuff during the film. But yeah, so he wrote this book in 77, The Shining, Stephen King did. And Stanley Kubrick made the movie in 80.
Yep.
I heard this Kubrick, being the crazy ass perfectionist that he has, spent like 4 or 5 years on the movie.
About 5 years total. 2 years filming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is unheard of nowadays.
And I think they were scheduled for like an 8 or 9 month shoot.
Which makes you wonder. All of these things that you see on the interwebs about these hidden meanings and these, subplots and these, innuendos, they're like, oh, it's just fans digging, right?
Absolutely.
It's probably not. It's probably him going, I want to set up certain, subtle Easter eggs before Easter eggs was even a name.
Yeah.
And this brings me to my Tom Cruise.
Oh, well, let's have that now.
So... because Kubrick is known for taking way too long. Well, too long. I guess it's
sure.
Everybody's kind of own definition. But since he takes so long making movies, while Tom Cruise was filming Eyes Wide Shut, he was interviewed and joked that Kubrick was in the back actually cutting scenes from The Shining. So,
oh, I see. Wow, that's funny.
Funny. Okay, nice. Funny.
Because Kubrick died mid-shooting of Eyes Wide Shut. Is that correct? So somebody else finished it?
I believe it was actually released, and then like days later he passed away.
All right.
Like 3 or 4 days later.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I didn't look
at it. I just remember when it was released, he had just died, and it was like a big thing where they're like, oh yeah, he goes, here's his last movie ever filmed.
Yeah. He could have gone out on a higher note.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting film, and like, you know, I enjoyed watching or whatever, but it's not like a revisit for me.
No. Yeah, it's probably the movie
even though I had my lady at the time.
It probably caused him and Nicole Kidman's divorce, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's when they got together.
The fact that he's
isn't it?
No, they got together in Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah.
And then they made Far and Away.
Far and Away, that's what I was trying to remember. That wasn't a bad movie, actually.
They filmed a few movies together.
Yeah. I just want to circle back real quick. Anybody that can bring this ambrosia to our world can never be wrong, by the way. Just saying.
You want some chapstick?
I'll take it.
For kissing that ass? Shit.
Oh, my God. So my favorite little factoid about this film is that Stanley Kubrick, when he first sat down and optioned it and got the rights, looked at scripts that were available. And there was a script written, so he took a look at it, and he was like, no, this script is some horse shit. And that script was written by Stephen King, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that he chose to adapt this novel when he says Stephen King is a, quote, weak writer. It's like, what, like, I wonder what drew him to the material if he hates on it so much. I mean, he hated his writing of the book. He hated the
Kubrick's a the script. Dick.
Well,
he was just trying to one-up anybody. So if he could take somebody's novel and destroy it, I think that would make him happy.
Well, didn't Stephen King hate the movie, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so let's throw him in a cage and let him fight and
pretty much.
Two men in or one man leave, dude.
Yep.
Oh.
Celebrity death match.
Maybe. Kubrick died by other means.
Stephen Ooh. King. Yeah, Stephen King, where were you?
You heard it first here on Good Fright Brew.
I hear that there was a car that came in like,
ooh,
was haunted. And like,
driven by a giant fucking
Bernard. I wonder if Stanley Kubrick drives a van.
Cujo's another movie that was good, though.
Yeah.
That came out with Dee Wallace.
That was a terrifying movie. That didn't even register when I saw that when I was young as a horror movie.
It didn't for me either. I saw like here's this dog drilling out his fucking mouth, and I'm like, what the fuck?
But a lot of Stephen King's, I don't think really, they come across creepy. And they kind of sit on the sci-fi kind of border there. So it's sci-fi horror.
Yeah, let's take the semi-trucks that come alive movie, for instance.
Oh,
Maximum Overdrive.
The Maximum Overdrive. With the Green Goblin on the front.
Such an awesome terrible film.
Terrible film, yeah.
Emilio Estevez.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch that crap every day, all day. But, you know, it's not a great movie. It's just, it had that 80s magic that a lot of movies back then had, which was that they became phenomenal even though they were not so great.
Right. Well, much like George Lucas, you can tell when somebody else does a Stephen King movie versus Stephen King doing his own movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's exactly.
It's like, George, do not direct your own Star Wars movies because they're shit.
That's absolutely true.
Get somebody else to do it.
A feel to them, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely. And it's probably a good idea if you're the author and the creator and all of that of a literary work to not try to take it to the screen because I don't know. That's not the verbiage you wrote it in. Let someone that speaks screen come over and write it in that language.
But, you know, I wonder now, because movies back then could only be 88 minutes, 85 minutes, you know.
People would walk out of that shit, yeah.
But now, and that absolutely, what you just said, absolutely applied to back then, I think. Mm-hmm. But now I wonder, because now movies going 2.5 hours or longer.
Which is weird, though, because now attention spans are so short.
Yours has always been short. But.
I'm sorry, Juan, what were you saying? Squirrel.
Oh, yours isn't short. You just forget things because you're old.
It's not true.
Touche.
I ran out of room. Oh, yeah. There's a difference.
Your memory has filled.
Yep. Yeah. It's like 85% tentacle porn and 16% hazy IPA love. And
Oh, man. If I could be served a hazy IPA by somebody like involved in tentacle porn right now,
yeah,
that would be my day. That would be amazing.
What's her name from Zombievers?
Quick, get a picture. That is like a...
What's her name?
Oh, Courtney Palm. Courtney Palm
give you a hazy IPA? It'd be
wrapped
over.
Up in anime tentacle porn serving me a fucking hazy IPA.
You'd be like that kid from American Pie, dude.
That is fucking top of Mount Olympus right there.
Or the top of your mug.
That's right. Yeah. Mount Olympus is about here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. So, The Shining is kind of considered one of the greatest horror films of all time now. I mean, it makes all the lists, and that gets said a lot, that it's amongst the best. But it was nominated for the Golden Raspberries when it came out.
You know, as so many of these movies we talk about do. Yeah.
Shelley Duvall for Worst Actress, which I think her acting.
He loves her in it, though.
Love her in it.
Oh,
I don't mind her.
I love her performance.
She's
all right.
I think she's.
And I think her whole quirky, you know, appearance and
she's
just her look and all
from
that.
Popeye, though, dude.
I love every bit of it. I love it. She's my favorite part of The Shining.
Because she's pale.
No, it's just because she's not what you see on screen every time.
No,
she's,
it's not.
She's
I was
not
thinking that when
18,
I was watching it again.
Like, and my parents went away, and there's a boogeyman outside. Like, she's just a real person thrust into, like, a terrible, shitty position. And then, as a real person, was also thrust into a terrible, shitty position.
Right.
While filming this movie. Because they wanted her to be distressed and distraught and really just kind of broken down as a person, since that's what she was going to portray in the film. So, Kubrick mandated that everyone on set treat her like shit. So for this 2-year fucking filming they did, no one would say hi to her when she showed up. While everyone was giving each other hugs and stuff, they would skip her on purpose. He would berate her and call her names and tell her how shitty her scenes were constantly, to the point where Jack Nicholson was like, I almost, like, he says his one regret from the filming of this movie was that he actually did as requested and shunned her and treated her poorly. And he said, I never should have done that and everything. But she actually was admitted to the hospital with like emotional distress and exhaustion from what they put her through to pull this role out of her. So the fact that she went through all of that and then gave that performance, which I think is fantastic. I don't know. Shelley Duvall's awesome.
Now that you know that, now you gotta think of it a little differently.
Well, I have a quote here from her saying, from May until October, I was really in and out of ill health. The stress of the role was so great. Stanley pushed me and prodded me further than I've ever been pushed before. It's the most difficult role I've ever had to play. And they actually made the Guinness Book of World Records for the bat swinging scene with her. And so not only was it a physical scene where, I mean, she's swinging a bat at him and all this stuff, but there's also like a dialogue going there, and they shot it 127 times.
Oh my god.
I mean, that would make anybody go crazy.
Guinness Book of Records for the most takes of any scene in Hollywood. And that wasn't just that scene. He did it for every scene.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where Scatman Crothers is laying in bed. He's literally just laying in bed watching TV, and then he gets kind of a broadcast from Danny letting him know that everything at the hotel's not okay. They did 50 takes of a scene where he just lays in bed and stares at the ceiling and gets kind of a panicked look on his face. And the scene where he sat and talked with Danny, I think they did over 100 takes of that one. So much that he just screamed and yelled at Kubrick. I was like, what the fuck do you want from me? What more can I give you? You're just insane, you piece of shit. Like,
he is insane.
Wow.
So Kubrick apparently is quite the madman.
Was,
yeah.
He is.
Which sometimes I think is kind of mandatory for that level of genius also.
Well, true.
I mean,
but you know what? You hear this thing over and over from movies back in the 70s and 80s. Whoever the director of The Exorcist was actually taking a shotgun.
Laddie.
Funny, funny connection. Mm-hmm. Kubrick was up for that role. Let me look in my notes here really quick.
Oh, yes.
Look in your notes.
But, scan them notes.
He said in the early 70s he was in consideration to direct The Exorcist, but he didn't want to do it unless he could produce it as well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he was
selfish. So anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, in The Exorcist, to get the stunned look from the priest when he's looking in the mirror in the scene, and then he like looks behind him because he hears something and he's startled. I can't remember who the director was, but Friedkin. Couldn't get the look. Is that
who William Friedkin?
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
He couldn't get the look, so he just fucking shot off a shotgun right behind the dude's head to get him to turn around and get the a look. Linda Blair was strapped down to this machine that was violently thrashing her about on the bed, and she ended up with back problems because of it. I mean, like, everybody's worried about whether or not animals are getting treated poorly. By fuck.
Well, I'm still more worried about that. You get paid a couple million. Yeah, you can get violently thrashed about.
Right. Well, what a different world of filming back then.
Oh, for sure. But look at the different quality of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, man. It's a whole different thing. Now, what's funny is that Kubrick came around and said that Shelley Duvall's performance was awesome and amazing, and that he was flabbergasted by how good it came out. King said that it was the most misogynistic character he'd ever seen on screen, and that she was there only to scream and act stupid. Mm-hmm. So he missed entirely what I think is kind of like the point of her character, which is that she's just emotionally destroyed and broken down and all these crazy
things. Well, it was a pissing match at that point.
It really was, yeah. And apparently he's flip-flopped a number of times, too, where he's kind of said, like, well, it's actually pretty good. And
well, the Playboy interview that King did, he told him that he was, like, a huge Kubrick fan up until this was released. And he was like, I expected so much, and I was so disappointed.
Never meet your fans, or never meet your heroes there,
Steven. Especially don't let them make your book into a movie. Right.
If your hero is kind of a jerk and does your work, yeah, you're going to probably have some problems.
If Kubrick was alive, he'd be a part of the Me Too movement. Sorry, too soon. Sorry. That guy's a dick.
Yeah.
Look how he treated people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody on set.
Lawsuits just right and left.
Yeah.
If there's no statute of limitations.
Yeah, I mean, just the abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess old Shelley Duvall had hair loss, too, because of that treatment.
Really?
Yeah.
Good grief.
She seems kind of like a neurotic gerbil anyway.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Like the kind that you would find like in a lab getting experimental on?
No,
inside of your gear.
You're going right there where I'm going.
Oh, boy. That's not where I was going.
Yeah.
Sure it wasn't.
Well done, wingman.
Oh, jeez.
I got you, Lee. I got you.
Where's Grace?
Yeah. Not here.
Wisely, she was like, I can't make it.
What would she call us at this point? It wouldn't be like Tweedledee and Tweedledum or anything like that. It'd be like,
I don't know. Try something I have to edit out.
Yeah.
So,
really, you two?
Part of Kubrick's process for this movie, well, I guess for all his films, was that he liked shooting in sequential order. So he shot in the order the film would then be seen. Mm-hmm. So that's extremely difficult because you can't just film everything that you ever have at one room and then film everything you ever have in one other room, which is the way most films do it. He had to have the entire set available, ready, lit, and all of that at all times.
You know who you learned that from?
Hmm.
Peter Jackson in Brain Dead.
Maybe.
You mean Dead Alive?
Dead Alive. Because that was filmed sequentially as well.
True. But except I think that was his only one, that he did that way. And also he just had, he just filmed at a house set, and then I think the rest was just around town. I'm just saying.
Don't try to dog on Mr. Jackson.
Kubrick wouldn't fly, so he wouldn't come over here and film in one of these hotels. So he had the whole Shining Hotel built over in England somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and was only supposed to have that production facility used up for those 8 or 9 months that the film was going to have it. And the film that was supposed to get it right after them was Empire Strikes Back. And so he's like, nope, sorry, still using it. And they're like, excuse me? And he's like, nope, sorry, still using it. And they're like, we can't. We're trying to film the fucking Star Wars sequel, dickface, so why don't you let us come over there and do some?
Star Wars, never heard of it.
And he was like, well, I guess I'm done with these couple little areas. So he actually allowed a little bit of it to be handed over to them. So funny trivia point is that all the snow that was done in the hedge maze scene at the end of The Shining was then just pushed over to the other side of that facility and used as the snow in Hoth for Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
See, and by snow, I mean salt and styrofoam. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, it was, what was it? A formaldehyde-based foam. Fuck. Which, does awesome. That sound healthy?
Awesome. Absolutely.
No.
Healthy.
No.
I remember when they used to use potato flakes.
Mm. Oh,
like
yeah.
The dried potato flakes as snow, but they said like it would get in your hair and then you would sweat, and under the heat of the lights,
you'd
it
make,
would
mashed
fully
potatoes.
Make mashed potatoes in people's like hair and costumes. Wow. So, I don't know, maybe formaldehyde is.
Well, I think we established
that
Kubrick was pretty fucking whacked.
He was pretty whacked.
I mean, I think you told me or I read that just the Here's Johnny scene mm-hmm. took mm-hmm. 3 days to film.
What?
And yeah. went through 60 doors.
Yep.
60 doors, yeah.
You know, who does that?
Well, the first Kubrick. Part of that was not Kubrick's fault, because the prop department made doors that were easy to chop through. But Jack Nicholson used to be a volunteer fireman, and he proved to be exceedingly skilled at chopping through shitty-ass doors. So he would hit it once, and it would just shatter.
Yeah.
So they had to actually stop and let the prop department make stronger doors. But they
wouldn't
still
they figure that out before door 60?
You would think
one
so.
One would think.
I imagine they still did a bajillion takes. And actually, there's a really cool thing that floods around YouTube and on Facebook and stuff and a lot of the horror forums, which it's a behind-the-scenes outtake of Nicholson amping himself up for that scene. And it's crazy to watch as he's just like pushing around the room,
yeah.
holding the axe, and he's like making himself crazy and talking gibberish and jumping up and down trying to get the... So, I mean, Kubrick...
But how much crazy did he have to make himself? 3 days, 60 right. doors. And that's I mean, right. we just saw him in One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest right yeah. before this.
Well, and that was Stephen King's point on not liking Jack Nicholson for this role, is he said, we're supposed to watch a normal guy descend into like chaos and madness.
Jack Nicholson is already on the brink
He's
of
already
madness.
On the brink of that. When yeah. you look at him, you go, that guy's kind of off, was Stephen yeah. King's point. And especially coming from Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. So I think you're going to still
that's
see
that's why he played the Joker.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
It worked.
And was very good at it.
There's something that I saw the other day, which I didn't know this until I actually stopped in at the Nerd Out after you guys had done your thing, was all of the, like, oppressive, like, Holocaust or Native American undertones or messages that supposedly was in this
yeah.
thing.
Well, all the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and the conspiracy yeah. theories. I watched a blurb on the YouTubes here yesterday where they talked a little bit about that, but they went by way of saying, hey, look, in the film, one of the butlers or whatever talks about how the hotel was built by the through the slaughter of a lot of Native Americans, something like that.
On the Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all yeah. that. Good old Indian burial grounds.
Right.
And so that was like a big part of like the supernatural.
Yeah, and they were like,
it.
And look at the Native American styling in there. But that's because he based the look of it on a hotel that's in Yosemite, which is extremely Native American in design. He just liked the look of it.
Well, then
I like to call it Yosemite.
Yosemite. The Willamita River.
Yeah.
But when they had Jack Nicholson throwing a tennis ball against the wall,
mm-hmm.
that apparently was a Native American design mural that was on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, there's disrespect happening there.
Yeah.
And then they even pointed out, if you look around, there's American flags everywhere. So it's the, you know, the American mm-hmm. people oppressing Native American rights and all that
sure.
stuff. Apparently the kid, Jack Nicholson, so many people are wearing yeah. versions of red, white, and blue. Jack's wearing a...
There's only like a handful of scenes in this entire film that don't have the color red. So red is a theme in the film, as a color. And that's undeniable because he put it in everywhere.
Yeah.
But the tennis ball thing, actually, Jack Nicholson came up with that on the day of shooting because he was just supposed to be in there bored.
Well, and that's why I wonder if this is the brilliance of...
No, it's all crap. I am 100% of the opinion that
all
of those things are crap. Yeah.
What about that they fake the moon landing?
So stupid.
Come on.
There's a documentary put together.
We landed on the moon?
And I wouldn't even say it's a good documentary because it's not. It's mm-mm. like just shabbily thrown together ramblings of various people that have a thought on The Shining.
Room 237.
It's called Room 237.
Yeah.
And it was big lauded when it came out. And everyone's like, oh my God, look at all this. It's literally an amalgamation of people that like have a thought.
But don't you wonder though? No, not at all. The guy spent 4 years putting together a movie that's generally done in 90 days.
Every movie he did was this way.
No, it's because every movie he did was that way. B, it's because nobody films crap in order, and the reason he films stuff in order is because he would on the daily make changes to the script, and it got so bad that Jack Nicholson stopped reading the script altogether. He threw away the copy they had given him, and he would only ask for that day's pages because it was different tomorrow.
The only explanation is Kubrick was mentally ill.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
But he created something.
Which he knew. I mean, he stated as much in people talking to him. He was like, you know, I can't let go of these thoughts. I can't let go of this perfection. I can't let go of whatever. That plus the fact that he felt that the first performance an actor gives you is 100% acting. The second performance they'll give you, you know, after those five takes, the next thing they're going to go into is like what they think they should be doing.
Mm.
And then after that, they're going to go into what they think you want them to be doing. And he said it's only after you go through all these steps that they will get to the frustrated point enough that they'll just start acting crazy. They'll pull things out of their pocket that they never knew they had. They'll, you know, do a scene in a way that you could never even ask them to do just because they're like, what do you want? And then he said, I usually use those scenes. Those are the ones I want. So if you're going to spend, you know, hours and hours and hours filming a 1 minute.
But at least, you know, with that being said, if nothing else, he created something that people could dive into and create their own worlds and create their own ideas. So that in itself is, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously noteworthy and why he's legendary and all that other shit, right?
Absolutely. No, I mean, there's no denying the brilliance he has as a filmmaker, but I have never heard 1 ounce of anything that didn't just sound like somebody had too much time on their hands when it comes to
It sound pretty good on the YouTubes.
Yeah,
which was probably a snippet from this documentary. I mean,
you could take anything and pull conspiracy theories out of it.
There was the Holocaust one, like you said, because the typewriter is German. The name of the typewriter is the eagle. There's an eagle in so many different sets of the thing. You know, the eagle was the symbol of the SS. Well, one of many, sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole thing is based on the Holocaust. Okay, cool. There's the hotel and its Native American design, and you know the eagles again came up in that one as well. And there's buffalo,
genocide of
and
there's Native Americans.
There's posters on the walls that are cowboys and stuff. So this is definitely the genocide of the Native American. Okay. Well, and then the kid has a shirt with Apollo 11 on it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for the Holocaust one, they use that same shirt because on the sleeve it says 42. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, 1942 is when really they started, when they decided to eradicate the Jewish people. And so,
that sweater, by the way.
So is that, that would be cool. So which is it? Is that sweater showing that he admits to the moon landing? Or is that sweater showing that this movie's about the Holocaust?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's all bumpkus. And if you want to go down one of those roads and believe one of those things, then yeah, go for it. Because you can paint anything you want between the lines.
But, and I will believe it only because he created a movie that could allow that to be part of it.
That's the thing. Yeah.
And that's what's so cool.
You couldn't pick apart like a Rob Zombie film in that way and like find all the brilliance in it.
Right. Although.
Because it's not there.
Ice Cream Man, maybe.
Hmm.
How dare you?
What?
How dare you say that about Rob Zombie? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am not a Rob Zombie hater, first off. I'm just saying that, like, I love House of a Thousand Corpses. You know, Devil's Rejects was pretty good. The Halloweens were not going to go there.
I appreciate the Halloweens, and I'm a big Halloween fan.
Thank you. I do, too.
I appreciate them.
What I am saying about it is that them. He's not trying to, like, write stuff between his lines. You know, he's not trying to hide secret messages in there, I guess is what I get by picking on him. He wants to make a straightforward homage to the films of the late 60s and 70s that he really loved and all that, and he's really good at that. So mm-hmm. I wasn't really poking at him like saying he's a bad filmmaker, but he's not the kind of like hide stuff, and you can't really pick apart his films.
He's not as mentally ill as Kubrick is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't have that same compulsion of perfection.
Speaking of the perfection, this is the shit that I don't get with this movie. The playgirl in the lobby.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay, first of all, there's not going to be a playgirl sitting in a hotel lobby anywhere.
Not in your world.
Okay, well, your hotels are a little different than mine. Yeah. Yours are hourly. But I mean, so some say that because there was an article of incest on the front to imply that there was some type of weird happenings in the household. But I mean, that's a bit weird. And then also like the office scenes where one second he's smoking a cigarette, next second cigarette's gone. I think you and I were talking about like the cross is upside down.
And that speaks to like that actual level of filmmaking talent of Kubrick, because he did that stuff on purpose. He purposely filmed a scene that has a chair right behind the character, and then he purposely took that chair out for the very next shot.
They moved
shot
and then put it back in the maze.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen just turn upside by down. Accident.
He filmed a scene where they walk into a freezer. They come through a double doors. They walk into a freezer by turning right into it. When they walk out of that freezer, they turn right again and go back out those same double doors. So he did things that he knew would register in your subconscious as impossibilities or as, like, missing pieces. So, you know, signs that change around, furniture that moves. In one scene, a guy – and this is not continuity issues. When a guy's wearing a solid color slack and the next time they cut to him, they're striped – and the next time they cut to him, they're solid but a different color. This is not a continuity thing. This is him saying your subconscious will be uncomfortable by this.
I believe the word you're looking for is continuity.
Not continuity?
You got the lee, the continuation
of
but it's just like acknowledging it's your own word. You make up what you
thank
need
you.
To make
I
up
I have my own words, thank you. Yes.
First off, right. Never acknowledge.
And you'll only have apologize. To acknowledge.
So yeah, there is a certain level of film mastery going on with a Kubrick movie, just not all this other horse duty.
No, and I actually read something online today that I never even noticed. But along those same lines, there was no evidence of electricity through it. Like, you didn't see plug-ins. You didn't see cords.
What? Yeah.
And Kubrick he made sure that they drilled holes in the walls and made sure that the plug-ins were... Plugins. Oh my gosh, the outlets.
Outlets.
Don't call them plugins.
Outlets. Yes.
What am I, like five?
He made sure that the clapper couldn't be seen when they turn stuff on and off.
But yeah, like the TVs didn't have cables, the lamps, things like that. You never saw any outlets.
Yeah, no.
That
power.
Was all on purpose to just create this kind of eerie, like, kind of feeling.
He just wanted that whole hotel to be off. Just in any way it could be off. Just
and
make
I wonder
it slightly
how
off.
Many people, well, apparently a lot because we're talking about it. We have resources to look at. But I never caught any of that shit when I first watched it. You know, you don't see that kind of level of.
Well, and that's the other thing. No. Nobody tore apart this film in the 80s and had these theories or even in the early 90s. But now the internet comes around and people have nothing to do but sit there and type on it. And
which
like,
makes it a classic.
And look up images and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden people are like, well, you know what I think? And you only have to say that once on the internet before it's truth for thousands of people. So yes. I think it just kind of got out of control with people wanting it to be more than it is when just look at it for what it really is, which is a freaking well-made movie.
I was wondering about that point you brought up. People get on the internet, they hear one thing, and it becomes gospel for so many.
Everything on the internet is true.
I was thinking about this the other day, like when we're talking on podcasts and where we get our information, you know, we're projecting it like, well, hey, I heard this and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm wondering how much disinformation,
we're spreading. I'm sure. I mean, but that's the world today.
Yeah.
Which also, if you take anything we say as fact or true...
Fake news.
I'm very sorry.
Here's the deal. I could either look it up online and talk somebody else's rubbish, or I could make up my own. You decide. Well, there's a little bit of both.
And I think that's well, if you make up your own, we'll do a documentary on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think we do a good job at talking about like what we got out of it.
Totally. Now, a lot of people didn't necessarily get out of it, meaning a lot of people were in this film that never were in films again.
No shit. Like, well, fucking Scatman Crothers, real quick here, to that point.
Okay.
You were talking about that scene where he had to do like 100 takes of just standing.
You mean Scatman Doo?
Yeah, Scatman Doo.
What was that?
That was Scatman Doo.
That's a scat, bro.
He doesn't do that. That's scatting. I know. First of all, Hong Kong Phooey.
Yes.
Fucking, yeah.
Yep.
Jazz, Transformers, Generation 1.
That's the cop car, right? Isn't Jazz the cop
That's
car?
That's the Porsche.
Like a Porsche. Yeah. But it's a Porsche cop car, right?
Porsche cop car.
I think so. Awesome. You up on your Transformers?
I would love that.
Prowler.
Car.
Prowler was Prowler, the cop car. Right? Jazz was just the normal Porsche.
Was it?
I stand corrected. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I should know this too.
Disappointed.
Mitch,
he then went and filmed a movie with Clint Eastwood directing called Bronco Billy. And Clint Eastwood's known for just doing like one takes. And fucking Scatman broke down and cried and was like, thank you. Because this was immediately after.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
It's like, Scat, Stanley Kubrick put me through shit.
Yeah, just in tears of gratitude for working with Clint Eastwood because, I'm done? I said,
well, and Kubrick didn't want Scatman at all anyway.
No, him and Chili were his two.
I think Jack Nicholson was the one that got that kind of set. He's like, look, you're going to put Scatman in this because he's rad and I want him in it.
He is fucking rad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the original character in the book was black.
Okay.
And so they, at the time, what I read, which we all discussed, this could be all fake, but they were really limited on their options. But since it took so long to film this movie, more options became available. And actually, Kubrick wanted to go back and actually replace his character and go back.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Kubrick, you dick.
Yeah.
You don't replace the Scat Mandu.
That's right.
Fuck. Shit. God damn it.
No, you Scat Man don't.
Oh, God, no.
Somebody had to. Right?
Oh, genius. Genius at work.
Oh, shit.
But that's a good kind of lead into our next beer because relationship that Kubrick had with Scatman, but also with Shelley Duvall.
You didn't want to drink?
Well, the name of the beer is called Torment.
Oh, and, fuck, yeah.
And so just kind of the relationship. It's by Heretic out of Fairfield, California. head brewer owner, Jamil Zanishev, has amazing podcast himself on the Brewers Network that you should all listen to if you want a homebrew. But
where's Grace for this?
Cool, I know, I was going to say, you're doing a really good beer gremlin like stand-in.
Well, I didn't even come prepared for this. I grabbed this right out of my cellar, if you will, right before I came. But Jamil is a freaking amazing brewer. I love this guy. This is by far one of the most favorite beers that he makes. He's very two-style, but that probably comes from him being an award-winning home brewer. He was winning award after award after award after award. So he only did us all a favor by actually opening a professional brewery.
Wow.
And making his beer readily available to us.
Where was that we went in Vancouver that had a name like Heretic?
Heathen.
Heathen. Oh, yeah.
I mix them up all the time.
Me too, yeah.
I'm a big fan of both, so that doesn't help because I...
So, not Heathen, but Heretic.
No, these guys are right outside of Sacramento. It's Fairfield, little tiny town.
I thought I had a story to tie in about a drunk guy that we got a...
just go for it. It's been aging for a while. We'll see how it tastes.
Well, it's got a good carb, so...
But I'll tell you...
Look at that head. It's yellow.
There's not a bad beer that he makes.
Thank you.
They're all good.
He makes very good beers, true to style. The Taproom Brewery isn't much to talk about. It's a great brewing place. Tap room's clean, nice, but it's not huge. Definitely go down and visit.
Yeah, I've never been there.
I'd like to.
It's the only reason I went to Sacramento.
I was going to say, if you can find a reason, then that's your only...
Well, I guess my aunt was down there. To go there.
Man, the color is awesome.
You know, I was going to say at the beginning of this, how do you tackle a podcast of such a giant... More. Like this movie, and like Kubrick.
Oh, it smells good.
Yeah.
Well, first thing you do is start talking about random bullcrap. Then the next thing you do is inflate Jody's ego.
And then I like that part. That was my favorite, actually. Yeah.
Then the next thing you do is drink a little beer.
That might have been my favorite part. I don't know.
Then you shoot down the thoughts that a lot of people have put a lot of work into and made documentaries about. Right. You say that's all horse crap, and then you drink more beer.
Okay. That's fair. No, that's our fair plan. Yeah, that's fair. I bring that up because I'm sitting here just flipping through like freaking page after page after page of information. And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, there's, how do you tackle a giant like this?
So I've watched the movie a million times. I can't say recently. Recently, I've watched it a couple of times. But nothing really stuck out that, you know, I loved more so today than I did 10 years ago. So I went to the internet and I started searching facts because when I'm just watching movies for fun, I don't usually delve into them as much as I do for a podcast.
Oh, it's annoying as hell to watch a movie for a podcast.
It really is. Yeah.
But what I did is I just watched it and then went to the internet and saw what people had to see. And then we watched again at the Nerd Out, which was actually fantastic because then I could pick out those little parts.
Yeah.
But one of the most favorite facts that I actually came across was, they say it's the most famous fan site for The Shining. It's called the Overlook Hotel, and it's run by Toy Story 3's director.
That explains the carpet. Yes,
is that not funny? Ooh. And so he said, I've been collecting this stuff from The Shining over the years, and I just wanted to have one place where they could be organized. And so that's why in Toy Story 3, Sid's carpet is similar to the carpet at the Overlook Hotel. There's a garbage truck. The license plate is RM237.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
And
room 237.
Yep. And Trixie chats online with a dinosaur toy down the street who happens to have the screen name Velocistar 237.
Sweet.
And I've never seen Toy Story 3 or 1 but or 2. But
you must.
Yeah, but, now
wait,
I have
you haven't
to.
Seen Toy Story 1?
I probably even? Have.
Oh my goodness.
I don't have children.
What the fuck?
I didn't have children. I was watching all sorts of God, you didn't have bullshit.
Oh, no. I have seen it.
Absolutely you have.
I have seen it.
It's Tom Hanks in it.
Thank you.
And Tim Allen.
And Tim Allen, yeah.
Yeah.
Best man standing.
Yeah. And John Ruthenberg.
Funny enough, I think my mother took me to the theater to see it.
God rest his soul, Ernest P.
Oh, really?
Ernest?
Ernest.
Oh.
No, he was not.
He was in Toy Story 1.
What was he?
He's the Slinky Dog. But he passed away, so somebody else took it over.
Oh. Ernest scared stupid.
See, to Jody's point, I love that. I love the fact that you, like, are a fanboy, right? And then all of a sudden you become something that allows you to take all your interests and all your cool, you know, things like this and say, I'm going to sneak those into my movie and stuff.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me right when she was saying that, I was like, God, I wish I could do that. But then I guess we kind of do that in the podcast a little bit. You know,
I
throw
so.
Up
yeah.
my Doctor Who shit and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you do.
Doctor Who.
So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Vomit that shit out all over
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So, tell us about this beer a little bit more. What am I drinking?
It's well, soup's good.
It's
this is.
It's a dark Belgian. I believe it's a Belgian dark strong. It says that it's a 10%. And I will tell you, it looks like it. So, this was bottled 6/8 of 15.
Whoa.
Perfect.
So this has been aging 3 years, over three years. And it is tasting pretty damn good.
Well, if you listened to our Return of the Living Dead episode, which we paired with Rigor Mortis from Brasserie de the Seal. We let Grace say it because my French is a little rusty. I had those aged for about 2.5 years and we were all worried about it and I was like, oh no. And then we thought that was funny that this beer was coming back from the dead and Return of the Living Dead. And it was like one of the most enjoyable beers I've featured on this. Yeah.
No, so I'm very surprised. I've had this beer many, many times. If I see this on a tap list somewhere, I always grab it. Even though a dark Belgian strong ale is not a style that I go out and drink very often.
Me too.
This is the one that I will always grab. And this actually opened me to try others when I do see that style on tap list.
Yeah.
Because it's really enjoyable. I mean, you definitely get that caramely, nutty goodness, and it's like has that alcohol warming,
yeah, just a little bit of that like banana bread sweetness way in the back. Oh, it's super good.
Yeah. No, this, it's really balanced. It's great
to me. There's like I love it. Just a hint of like a cherry plum or something.
I can see that.
No, that's horseshit.
Well, that's conspiracy.
I'm just going to say fig.
Apparently that's my role.
Fig.
Drink.
Fig.
Yeah. Just to you're just, say.
You're just reading into this beer now.
There's no fruit esters in this beer.
I thought it was quite candy.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I might
There's
be wrong.
Quite a few fruit esters in this beer. Right, yeah.
He just throws that out on every beer, hoping it sticks.
I get the plum, though.
Well, and I do love the tie-in. I mean, excellent, excellent guest beer of the Torment, because, boy, on screen, behind the scenes.
Everybody was tormented.
Really. And let's talk about that for a second, because Shining, you know, people say this is one of the greatest horror movies.
I'm calling this one Shelley Duvall. That's okay. The best beer now.
Well, I tried to find a beer called Kubrick is a Dick, but yeah. I just couldn't find it.
And it's been aged almost as long as it took him to make this fucking
That's
beer.
That's right. That's right.
But let's talk about the fact that this is like considered one of the greatest horror movies of all time, but we see, what, one person get an axe to the chest.
Yeah.
And we see the Grady twins, or whatever their name is. I think it's the Grady twins.
Flashbacks of family murder.
All kind of, mashed up in the hallway. Probably been axed or knifed. And that's really it, besides the elevator of blood. Like, it's not gory. Well, there's not a lot of deaths. There's not a body count. It's all about, well, like this says, tormenting even the audience. Just taking you on this ride of like, oh my God, how bad is this going to go? Or like, is everyone going to, oh no.
Well, even switching everything, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking with the audience.
So, yeah.
Some of the best movies that they make for horror aren't the goriest and bloodiest movies. I mean, like Halloween, my favorite.
Yeah.
There's no blood really in it.
Zombievers.
Sure.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, we just heard about the Leprechaun and how the body count was in that.
Absolutely. Well, and Zombievers got like 400% of the zombies that are, or onto the beavers that are in The Shining.
I did not know that. That's a fun
I'm
fact.
I'm just saying. Shining didn't need beavers to
get
its point across.
Wow. Have you ever seen Zombiever?
No. Nope.
You must.
What? It's on.
Take a special note of Courtney Palm.
Can I just go pick it up at my local Blockbuster?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Redbox it.
Which bend, I guess.
Once again, Oregon has the last Blockbuster standing.
And people are traveling to see it. They're flying into the state.
They just made a collaboration beer.
They did.
Shut up.
What?
You know that? With 10 Barrel, was it?
No.
It was
Tin Barrel. Yeah.
It was a Bend Brewery.
Yep.
I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
I think it was Tin Barrel.
We have to get that because I have to then bash it to pieces only because I am a Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video is more local
somebody
for us.
Somebody here has the Hollywood Video connection.
I was the Hollywood Video junkie.
Man.
Where is?
I managed a Hollywood Video over on Woodstock.
No kidding.
I still have my Hollywood Video card.
Right down from Northwest IPA.
Also Hollywood Video.
Yeah, I was an area manager for Vancouver, Washougal, and Camas for Hollywood Video.
We like our movies, man.
Yeah. Fucking awesome job, I'll tell you.
I went to American Family Video.
I thought it was a load of horseshit.
Let's see. Warehouse Video or Hollywood Video, which one?
I also worked at the Warehouse. I worked at Tower Records. Yeah. Tower Records, of course, takes the cake. If you've ever seen Empire Records, the movie that was kind of loosely based on the Tower Records company,
it
was exactly like that.
If you haven't seen it, I'll punch you.
Yeah, you should see it. It was exactly like that, working at Tower Records, only a little crazier. I'm not even shitting you.
You know who else
used to dye my hair black, like, while I was ringing people up. My coworker was standing behind me, and she was, like, dyeing my hair black. And people were just like, that kind of smells. We're like, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Whatever, I don't care, man.
Cool. Yeah. It was so dumb. But at the same time, so cool.
Jesus.
It was a great job. Great, great job.
So,
Where do we go from here?
Well, drinking. I just have a couple other things that we didn't bring up.
Fine, I got some too then.
Yeah, let's have a fact off. Here we go. It's the Dread Fright and Brew first annual fact off.
No.
Where we will each throw out facts, and you, the listeners, will tell us which one of us has the best facts.
Okay, I love it.
Let's do it.
Jody,
Juan, are you prepared for this?
You are.
he's like, what the?
You are the muse here. Apparently.
Well, actually, I just kind of wanted to discuss the mirrors in the whole movie.
Let's do that
because there were a lot of mirrors in there, and honestly, how I interpreted it, and there are some. Changes towards the end, but Jack, anytime Jack has his kind of
like Mr. Grady that he's talking to or somebody,
like there's reflections, there's mirrors, there's reflections, but it's like the bad him, and then when the finger little
Tony
dude comes out, he's looking in a mirror, he's talking to him in a mirror. So I just kind of wanted to hear your guys' interpretations of it. I think it's all kind of relative.
I could...
Maybe on a surface level here, I always thought that that was reflecting the Overlook Hotel and the evil and everything that already resided within it, and how it was projecting from the...
the heck was that? I was just assaulted by a pterodactyl in my own home. What was pterodactyl? Fine, it was a mosquito eater, but it looked big.
Mosquito
pips.
It's over there on the
jalapeno thing. The whatever it is.
Cattle eat it. Yeah, sky raisin.
Sky raisin. Jalapeno sky raisin.
You know what? Anyways, I don't even need to finish my thought. That was great.
Go ahead and finish it.
I just thought that was a reflection of of the past and of the evil spirits and how it was like saying, okay, look, we've done this before.
Well, I just recently watched Vertigo, and I was watching it with Midge, my lady's son, and he was doing it for a report he's writing for school where he needs to talk about symbolism and things like that.
And had Vertigo.
Wands cut off.
And one thing we noticed in it was that every time a character was introduced, they were introduced next to a mirror. And Hitchcock did that on purpose to show the duality of all the characters in that film, that he thinks the lady is one person, but she's not. And he thinks he's a hero, and then we find out later he's kind of not. And so it was to show this duality. So I have every belief that, yeah, there's probably a reason that every time Jack was talking to a ghost, quote unquote, there was a mirror in the room, because really it was his own madness. Maybe.
Right. It's his like alter not even alter ego, but that's like his like evil coming out. Like the mirrors, the reflections, that's his evil. And like when Shelley Duvall saw it, or the little kid with the finger saw it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I've been drinking a little bit.
So make these podcasts.
They're also seeing Jack's evil.
Yes.
They're not seeing their own evil, or they're not seeing ghosts from the hotel. They're seeing his evil.
And there's one scene in which he's talking to Mr. Grady, you know, the ghost of the place that's instructing him to kill his family, where he's not in front of a mirror or in a mirrored bathroom or whatever. But it's when he's locked in the freezer, which has a shiny silver mirrored inner door.
It'll get to you no matter how. Into.
Which we've all been inside freezers before. Well, I have.
I was locked inside one.
Well, there you go. We all have.
I mean, it was that's where fun. They keep the beer, for God's sake.
That's right.
Best place to store dead hookers.
That really brought down the moment. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, it's that kind of shoddy storage that gets you caught. Yes.
That's we know that there's like condensation and stuff that doesn't allow it to be shiny. It's a dull, whatever. So they did that on purpose.
Absolutely. I think agree. So.
So totally fact off.
So. Okay. Yeah, let's fact off.
So I will go first.
Go for it.
Well, I like to talk about the snow, but that's not the one that I want to do. Let me find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm still looking for it. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
While you're looking for that fact, let me touch back on this last thing. I think something was in the book that's missing from the film that would have helped, which is why Jack isn't a teacher any longer and why he has gone on to become a writer. And in the book, I think he writes plays. It's not even a novel. In the movie, I'm not even sure if they say what he writes. We just assume it's a book because that's kind of a trope.
Right.
Someone in a faraway place writing his book. He got kicked out of being a teacher because he had a violent temper and a student pissed him off and he punched a student in the face and like physically assaulted him.
Was that fueled by his alcoholism?
I think so.
Yeah. Yes.
So in the book, they give Jack some angry background, which I think would have helped in the movie into going, so is this really a haunting and a possession? And is Jack really being taken over by spirits of the hotel that want him to remain there forever? And the price of that is kill your family.
Mm-hmm.
Or is Jack demons? Just a violent asshole, and when he's locked away from the world, trapped in snow, with only his family, which is a young kid who's kind of annoying, and a wife who's Shelley Duvall.
Exactly.
Like, is that enough with his frustrations of not being able to get his written work out to have driven him mad? So I think that would have helped showing he had a history of aggression and violence.
Sure.
Yeah. So it kind of feels like Kubrick just wanted it to be a haunted hotel, so he didn't include all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been neat to have that to kind of argue about.
Maybe Clint Howard does the remake, he can incorporate some of those.
So Clint Howard, if you're listening to this, sponsor our podcast because we're gonna pump your career every chance we can. I don't know if he even has the funds to sponsor our podcast, honestly. Right. Maybe we can start a Patreon and give us a couple bucks.
He knows Ron.
Ron Howard. Do your bro a solid.
Yeah. Sponsor our podcast. We could do a GoFundMe.
Yeah. We could. That's right. Yeah. I'm raising money for my brother to be able to sponsor this podcast in Oregon. It's perfect.
That's a cause right there.
Right?
That is a cause.
Let's just talk about it on the internet. People will back it.
Fuck yeah.
Believe in something.
Give us a fact. All right,
fact.
Well, I didn't find the one I was looking for, but I found a really freaking cool one that ties in with our little sci-fi kind of conversation earlier.
Detail.
Okay.
So, there was an alternate ending to Blade Runner. It was a happy ending.
Fuck ugh. That.
If was you there a will.
Massage involved?
Not like that. not like Lee's Hotels. We're all circling back.
Yeah.
But it reuses the footage from the opening helicopter shots of the mountains with the little yellow bug.
Yeah, Glacier National Park. Beautiful place.
Yep. So it uses those. And it tells you what scenes and stuff if you really want to know it. But you can see the little yellow car at the bottom of the frame.
Oh, cool. Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Cool. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, see, now she just set up my fact, which wasn't what I was going to go with. So, the yellow car, the Volkswagen that they drive,
is Bumblebee.
In the book was a red Volkswagen. And the reason it was a red Volkswagen is that Stephen King himself drove a red Volkswagen at the time that he was writing all these books. And he kind of put a little bit of himself into the Jack character in the sense that he had a child who also used to interrupt him while he was writing, and he would say things that he wasn't proud of and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, very personal kind of tidbit in the book. Well, to take a stab at him, Stanley Kubrick changed the color of the car and made it yellow. Mm-hmm. But when Halloran, Scatman Do, when he's headed there to drive and save them and he's going down the road, he has to go around an accident on an icy, snowy road, which is a semi-truck, which has tipped over and crushed a red Volkswagen Bug. And that was his giant middle finger to Stephen King, saying, not only do you drive that car, and not only is that the car used in the book, but look, F you, smush, and then change the color to yellow is kind of saying, this is my project.
Okay.
I'm going to think about it now, because in Misery, when he runs off the road in a car, is that a bug or no?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
So, but that would be kind of
it's probably a Buick. Every movie car is a Buick.
Well, then I'm going to take your fact, right, and I'm going to flip it in the relationship.
Smack it, flip it, and rub it down?
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. The BBD.
There it is. Closet Bill Baby Bo fans, I guess.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna flip that relationship.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, Stephen King was first approached by Stanley Kubrick about making the movie, and he was approached via a very early phone call because, you know, England is 5 hours ahead. Okay. And apparently King was suffering from a hangover. And at first he was thinking one of his kids was injured, and he was actually very shocked when his wife, and I'm not reading directly from IMDb or anything like that, so, you know, no lawsuits, please, thought his wife was, blah, blah, blah. He was shocked when his wife told him that it was really Kubrick on the phone. Mm. Now, Kubrick said, hey, I like ghost stories. There's something very optimistic about ghost stories because they suggest that humans survive death. And King was like, well, what about hell? And Kubrick paused apparently and said, well, I don't believe in hell. And King said, well, look, man, there are, and he actually said that, he said, look, man, there are people.
Said, hey, bro.
Bro.
Yeah. Listen up.
This is like drunk history coming.
King said, hey, look, there are people that believe in hell. In fact, they fear it more than death itself. And that apparently was a tremendous effect in helping Kubrick actually understand the feel of the story.
Hmm.
Yeah. I particularly like that one because I love the whole...
Can't hype your own hell thing.
And shit. And the whole, like, back to... I am going to hype it, damn
it. Don't hype your fact.
Night of the Living Dead, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Fucking love it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, one.
I got nothing. I didn't.
You don't have you don't have a magic tablet in front of you?
No, I do not, actually.
Throw out a fact. You know, like
any fact. Any fact.
Like your six toes on that one foot.
I have six toes?
And his tail.
That's not what...
I do not have a nub either. Juan, what the hell are you talking about?
Juan has a left testicle.
And that's it. And a vagina.
You're not supposed to tell anyone.
I apologized earlier. This cannot come back on me.
You apologize or acknowledge?
Damn it, now Juan's facts are the best facts.
This is fine. This is fine. Juan, you don't have a fact, therefore you must judge which of the facts are the best.
I have another fact to add.
Yeah, she can give you free beer.
Bribery happens all the time.
That noise.
What's the other fact?
I have a knife.
Well, I was just going to say, anybody know where The Shining, the name The Shining came from?
No idea.
The Simpsons. It was The Shining.
Shit.
No, it came from John Lennon, Instant Karma. And there's a line in there that says, "We all shine on." And so that's where Stephen King got the
Shining. Oh, hold on.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I just did.
We're going around again.
No. Lee wins.
Thank you.
She brought the Beatles into this shit, and I hate the Beatles. Fuck that.
Right. But what about Aaron?
Aaron's a douchebag. I won't pick him.
Yeah.
We'll never vote for him. Acknowledge to Aaron.
Never. We're going to die at each other's hand, dude.
Best friends.
I brought you beer.
Well, you get the runner-up.
That's awesome.
He gets last place.
Compared to Aaron, thanks.
Yeah. Fred Frighten Brews, your first fact off.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
Lee just wins because...
Hey, man, no explanation of it is needed.
Is it because the hour hotels?
No explanation is
needed. No. He got wind from your beer.
And he got a hard on.
Yeah, he got from your beer and Doctor Who.
And you're sitting closest to him.
Totally.
You want a little piece of that?
Do you
want
to see that picture again?
What picture?
Me and David Tennant?
Oh, I was like, of your hard on? No, I do not.
He will send it.
Okay.
Hashtag me too.
Here's a fun fact.
So you double dip the facts. I'm going to double dip a fact.
Oh, dip twice.
I didn't send it to Jody, but I did show it to her of a nice little postcard.
Oh, no.
During the holidays of a kid's drawing of Santa Claus.
What a catch.
Right? Nice job.
I'm a professional.
Wow.
Of like a crayon drawing of Santa Claus with his bag of toys thrown over his shoulder.
Was it a sack?
And the bag of toys had a hole cut through it. And somebody, I'm not saying who, put their sack through it, as in nut sack, and that presented that to Jody and said, "Hey, check out this Christmas card."
When did you remember that?
No,
you don't remember that?
When was that?
I don't know what
holy
he's talking about
hell!
At all.
I showed it to you at Valley Growler like 2 years ago.
Oh,
well,
oh
my God. She's blocked that entire year out of her life, just in case.
She's like,
did I laugh?
Crap.
Oh, you did.
Then she was fantastic.
Did she snort, though?
We did not get one snort tonight.
Oh, my God. Why not?
But I have one more thing to talk about The Shining. I'm so upset.
Say all the things you want.
Say it.
It's Tom Cruise related again.
Oh, God.
Do it.
But the opening scenes of Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know. Okay. It's been a really long time since I've seen it. And once again, we're not going to revisit that movie.
Yeah.
But... Tom Cruise apparently looks at some posters outside of a jazz club, and then they swap out one of the posters for a Shining poster.
Really?
It's like the yellow one, like what our hazy IPA.
In the Room 237 documentary, they do that. They have that scene, and they edited in a Shining poster.
Oh, so they edit it in.
I think so. It looked kind of Photoshopped a little bit.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is, but... It was still Tom Cruise and The Shining, and so it had to be brought up.
Oh, my God.
But it's also the poster that we used for the Hazy IPA release.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The Shining Hazy IPA.
The Nerd Out, which we have right here.
That one right there.
Put it on our social media right next to the mugs.
Okay. I'll look for that in early 2020.
We need to give credit to Connor Baskins for that.
Did he do the design stuff?
He is a student at Oregon State University.
Sweet.
And he's the one that designed that poster for us.
Look at our little logo on there.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
That's right on.
So funny. Uh-huh. Nice job.
Yep.
Nice job.
That is a... One Mr. of the Baskins. Better posters you guys have had for sure.
I'm going to call him
Bilbo. That's really good.
I was going to say, Baskins. I knew that was coming.
What'd you say?
Bilbo Baskins. He beat me to it.
Bilbo. Yeah. Thanks, Bilbo. It's a great poster.
Ditto Schweigens.
That's an honor. I think so too.
Another fun fact about Tom Cruise is that when he sits on a curb, his feet dangle.
You're such a dick.
Oh, shit.
You're just jealous of his, like, jaw that constantly pulses when he's having a serious moment.
It does pulse a lot. Whenever he's not running, basically.
He likes to jump on couches, too.
He's usually just running.
Yes.
I could never be a celebrity.
He runs on rooftops and jumps.
He runs a lot.
Yeah. He has two, those little legs.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Everyone else is just walking. We're like, why is he running? Oh, to keep up.
Keep up with the crowd.
Got it. You should get him one of those monkey backpacks with the leash.
Oh.
And you just pull him along.
We'll just get him those, like, I don't know what they're called because I don't have children. Those little baskets that you put on your...
Hey, be careful, everybody. Tom Cruise is powerful enough to hurt us right now.
That's true.
Oh, with his aliens?
Yes. He can zap us from the, you know.
Gonna, come on, Tom Cruise.
Fly out of a volcano.
And... I triple dog dare you.
Liam Neeson isn't afraid of him, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm scared.
Scared.
That's a scared.
Well, shit.
Well, now we just lost all our Scientologist listeners.
Damn it.
Oh,
for that poor shit that they're into.
Sorry, John Travolta. Never listen to us again.
That's right. Dang. Two famous people gone from our listeners.
Yeah. I think we just got Leah Remini. Whatever Remini. Her name.
Yes,
she's back. I don't know. I just know she did a Scientology. She's funny.
She's anti-Scientology. Well,
she left Scientology. She's on that
Raymond
show?
Good for her.
No, she was on the King of Queens.
Loves Raymond.
Oh, I'm such a dick. It's one of those.
Paul Blart, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the wife? Is
I
that?
Don't know. Yeah.
She was the wife.
Oh, she is funny.
And then she did a whole documentary on how she left the Scientology church.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got really
kicking
mad
and
at
goddamn
her.
Screaming. Yeah. Yes. I was going to say. They don't fuck around.
I just learned an awesome cool
like most
fact.
Cults.
What's this?
Tom Cruise is a Scientologist?
No. The bar scene. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
The bar scene where Jack has bourbon and the dialogue includes, I like you, Lloyd. You're always the best goddamn bartender from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine, or to Portland, Oregon, for that matter.
Yep. Yeah.
That's super cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
obviously, a nod to Timberline Lodge there.
Come to Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But only to visit.
Not to
fucking true. Don't say. I told Bud Clark.
No,
used
we
to
got
say
this
that.
Motherfucker.
Come drink our beer, then go back
Bud
home.
Clark.
Be disappointed in your beer.
I love that man.
Yep, Bud Clark, mayor.
Such amazing. And if you've never been to the Goose Hollow, which is run by his family,
is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The best Rubens in town and a fantastic tap list.
Damn. Ooh. Okay.
Yep.
They have Oakshire on that tap list.
Every now and then they do.
All right. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Because unfortunately,
paid on for by.
We are making Oregon sound so amazing.
Well,
that
it is.
We're going to do far more damage than, you know, anybody that ever preceded us by bringing all these people here. They'll never want to leave.
Well, I can only imagine with our influence. And
yeah,
pull.
It's going to be huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Sorry, local hotels.
We can rename the United States of America to the Portland of Oregon.
I mean, everybody's going to be walking down the street and they're like, why are you here? Dread, Fright, and Brew. Why are you here? Dread, Fright, and Brew.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's going to be like everybody. It's going to be an epidemic.
It's our image of world domination.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, guys.
You're going to throw in the good beer, too.
I blame Lee.
I'm just a guest.
Okay. For his quality content.
Yeah, my quality erection, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that they can see just by flying over. So just go to Seattle and look down.
What's going on there, Seattle?
But just know, everybody that's planning on visiting, we do have giant pterodactyls that come and attack.
Yeah, randomly.
That's very true. I don't know where that thing went either.
Dude, I've never seen you move so fast. I don't think you had your knife. Like,
it came straight from my face. You gotta protect the money man.
So, back in the day.
Not the Statham.
Like, oh, Jesus.
That's what he calls himself.
First off, I don't.
Your lady did.
All I said was that he copied my hairstyle.
That's not true.
That he cut his balding head short.
I heard you call yourself the Jack Black of Jason Statham.
Oh,
I can see that. I'm like a Jack Statham.
Jack.
Oh, God.
That's fair. Or a Jason Black.
Not hot. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
That was a great visual on an audio podcast right there.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. It'll get cut anyway. Woo, cheers.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I have a feeling I'm far too lazy to edit any of this.
He's
episode.
Just going
to
post
have
this
you listened
raw,
to
man.
Any of your bonus material from the Nerd Out?
I haven't.
I'm sure
this is your opportunity to make Aaron have to edit things out.
Aaron, I'm going to make you work more than you've ever worked in your life. Edit all of this shit out. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Thank you. What can you say?
Say whatever you want.
So, a bear walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, man, what can I get you?" And he goes, "I'd like a beer and a grilled cheese." And the bartender goes, "Why the big pause?" He goes, "Because I'm a fucking bear." Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're going to do a movie review on Top Gun.
Top Gun. Here we go.
Fuck yeah, motherfucker.
So,
see, first it's okay off, to say fuck too.
Do you have the need?
I got the need for speed. Yeah.
Aaron's going to hate us so much.
And Jody, it's we're going to the danger zone.
So, this like here is what happens.
Danger zone.
So, this is what happens when Aaron gets distracted by more cocktails and leaves the mics
he
unattended
gets
at the table.
Distracted by cock.
Jody,
sorry.
Aaron, you need to size down your head. It's too big. We don't like the size of your noggin.
Oh, please. Hi, Aaron. I just wanted you to know that I always found you attractive. I really like it when you come into the bar, and I like to sit you, watch you drink. I like watching you put your lips to the glass. It's very sexy. Lee and I have had some talks about you, and but, you know, just to let you know, when you come in, I sometimes think about wearing red lipstick and pantyhose.
And putting the dog in the bathroom.
Love you, buddy.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for that.
Okay, I have a theory about...
Do you have a theory
about
the
furry? We'll talk about this later.
No, yeah, we have to talk about that on the for realties. Oh, hey, we made it to 22 minutes.
Okay, we need to turn it off.
Should we stop now?
Yes.
Love you, Aaron. Heart you, love you. Any other parting words?
I'm sorry, Aaron.
No, she's not.
No, it's still on the card right there. I'm still editing the episode where we had Mitch come and
so
hang with
the
us,
nerd so. Out is a very interesting relationship right now because we have the episode that shall not be spoken.
Yeah.
That we're still working that through.
Someday, hopefully, yeah.
And then we have the Joey's fault, just so you know. Actual guest star of Mitch coming here. From yes. The Nerd Out, and then we have the Shining Oakshire Dread Frightened Brew 40th anniversary thing.
We hosted Attack of the Killer Tomatoes there one night, which was awesome.
So this is going to be some weird timey-wimey kind of like thing of putting all of these episodes together to where they may or may not make any kind of timeline sense.
When
probably
are
not.
We going to watch
when does anything we do in an episode make any sense anyway? Oh, shit.
Oh, nothing God. Makes sense. You're right.
You weren't there for that.
Oh, you really?
I heard that when I showed up later.
I don't want to talk about it.
Jody was positive that
Batman
Warren Beatty
was played
was
by Warren
Batman.
Beatty. You got to play Dick Tracy.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, and the Joker was played by that guy that did Mumbles, I think.
Right.
Whoever that guy was.
Fuck yeah. Dude. Did we talk about the Dick Tracy cartoon the other night? I know you're old enough.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, I remember it.
Go-Go Gomez.
Go-Go Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like in your 20s when that came out, right?
There's the Eskimo guy, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it really was like...
It's an Inuit. They're called Inuits, Jody.
And that ride... sounds worse than an Eskimo.
And they ride sea lions.
I tried to be PC one time.
I know, right?
Inuit?
Inuits.
I-N-N-U-I-T, I think it's is like...
Inuit.
That sounds horrible. I'm really sorry to all the Eskimos out there.
Yes, sorry, Eskimos.
They're very cold.
That was really dumb.
And they live in...
Go on.
No, really, let's hear this gold.
Tell us what they live in.
Houses of ice blocks.
Put this out to the world. Houses of ice blocks?
Igloos, you fool.
Oh, jeez. Well, I think we've... come to the end of this meeting. This is where Grace actually reaches across the table. I'm not even kidding. And like starts to press the stop button.
Oh,
yeah. So, and we all go to a sign out. It's right about this point.
That's so true. So, I think it's great though that we know our natural exit.
Me and my T-Rex arms.
Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. It's a long time coming.
Thank you. No, and it was great. And being your number one fan, I really appreciate you guys having me here.
Yeah.
I think we
would like to throw this challenge out to anyone.
Yeah.
If you think you're the number one fan, you can come and sit in the dead room. We'll feed you beer and let you state your case.
I love it. In fact, I'm looking forward to the rumored, like, trivia off between Morgan and Jody here.
It's on.
Yeah.
We might have to make it earlier so it's not past her bedtime.
Oh, is she an early to bed or the rise?
No.
It was an age thing. I'm sorry. My beer muddled brain.
But you're older. Wouldn't your bedtime be earlier?
No, because I'm a professional.
Yeah, right after Wheel.
Well, that's right. You don't work till noon. So
or if you're feeling really saucy, you do Wheel and Jeopardy, then go to bed.
But you got to stay up for Monk.
If I had a job where I worked from noon to four in the afternoon.
I work a lot more than noon to four.
No.
It's true. She's working right now. She's selling her product. Representing her brand.
You know what? You're probably getting paid for this too, aren't you? You're probably clocking
well,
this
I'm
time.
I'm salary, so it doesn't. I'm always getting
She's
paid.
She's always on the clock.
Thank you also very much for letting us be a part of the release of this beer. It's super
thank
awesome.
Thank you for being a part of it. Very much an honor. I should be thanking you guys. It was absolutely amazing. It was fun. Thank you for putting so much time and effort into it. And let's do it again. It doesn't have to be a beer release. Let's just go and hang out.
I think Oakshire just needs to rebrand itself to a horror-themed brewery.
Oh. I agree. I mean, don't think they're going to go for it.
I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, we need to do another.
You know, Watershed? That's a great place to hide a bottle. It's out in a watershed.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know? On an overcast day.
Overcast? Ooh. Yeah, how gloomy is that?
Well, they're halfway especially there. When it's a stripper named Amber. I don't know. I'm just trying to fit it in.
I'm picking up on that.
Well, and you got your number one hazy fan right here.
Oh, that's right.
He may have drank more of this beer than your own brewer.
I have had at least 12 of these since its release.
I'm very proud of you because you've probably had more than any. Well, I know you've had more than anybody else in the Portland metro area at this point.
Yeah, I hit 5.
These are amazing.
But I will have more.
Yeah, these are absolutely amazing.
You've had more than me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a problem.
You know what we never did? We never told anybody the hard to remember name of this beer just to make sure they can find it. But this is Oakshire Hazy IPA.
Ooh, can you remember that? Write it down.
So write that down. Look for it. It's the one with the carpet on it.
Yes.
Well, it's not an actual carpet, so don't look for a fuzzy can.
Special edition?
limited editions? The special flock to chase
apparently,
edition.
Apparently, Portland has a thing edition. With carpets.
Glow in the dark, Comic-Con edition.
You have the PDX carpet?
We are kind of carpet-centric.
We're carpet-oriented here.
And we have a lot of lesbians.
I was so going to say that. Yeah, we do. That's not a good thing.
We have Subarus, lesbians, and carpet.
When I moved here, actually, Portland...
We have carpeted Subarus.
When I moved here, Portland was the quote-unquote lesbian capital of the world because of its inclusiveness and all of that. And
I think that's awesome. We've got
You're not entirely wrong.
We love them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they love hazies.
They love beer.
Who doesn't
but
love
I
beer?
I was just going to say...
Communists.
All people love beer, especially in the Northwest.
In the Northwest, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got some of the best.
Lesbians or beer?
I'm going to say both.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm pretty proud of our lesbian population here.
Well, you've got Jody's nod, so carry on.
Well, this has been a blast.
Absolutely.
Freaking blast.
All right, well, thanks for listening to everybody. If you see another one of our events, come hang out with us. It's a lot of fun.
Or one of my events. Come hang out with me because I'm a lot of fun.
Sure. I don't know. I might be busy.
You're washing your hair that day.
That's not it.
Your Jason Statham hair?
Yeah. I might be. Yeah. We're not going to. That's over. We're not going to go down that road. Boy, did I have something to say that I'm just not going to. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Send us some feedback. Hit us up. Leave us a comment or a rating on iTunes or Google Play Music or wherever you're finding this podcast. That's the best way to help us out. Shoot us an email, dreadfrightandbrew@gmail.com, or follow us on Instagram at dreadfrightandbrewpodcast.
And comment, Jody is the number one fan.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We should do some kind of prize pack for the person that...
Unless she changes her name to Morgan. That is not true.
Oh.
One, go
oh,
back man. In the bathroom.
A challenger has emerged. All right,
that's the everybody. First thing he contributed.
Thanks for listening. We will catch you guys next time.
Peace.
Blue, huh?